'Twas the night of Christmas and all through the house, you tuned into Vogue Network by clicking your mouse. There's news of Utada and Pokemon 2, more C&Ds delivered with the usual round of booze. We have lots of news from This Week in Gaming. Come celebrate your geekiness. No one here is shaming.
Forge Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 671 for this December the 25th of 2016. Kind of a big day today, and I think maybe in the...
Yeah, it's the second night of Hanukkah.
Coming up on 15-year anniversary of our show. This is the first time I think we've ever done a show live on December 25th.
Yeah.
So... Merry Christmas, or I'm sorry, as we were saying before the show, Merry fucking Christmas, Happy goddamn Hanukkah, and shit.
And fuck 2016 in the ear.
That's right.
With all, something hard.
All the places.
And sandpapery.
That's right. My God. So, horrible to hear about Carrie Fisher, although apparently she's in stable condition, so, and if any celebrity was going to say, not today, Satan, it was going to be Carrie Fisher. But then George Michael gone today unexpectedly. And it's like,
is that what we had to sacrifice to keep our princess general?
I don't want to think about that because, well, and it's okay. Here's the thing. Cause there's, by the way, I'm Rob Roberts. She's Dark Sakura. If you didn't know that by now,
what rock have you been under?
Yeah, exactly. Techmaster Loki, not here tonight. Enjoying the holiday with his family. Obviously you guys there at VogueNetwork.com joining us live as you do every Sunday night, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And, Dark Tetsuya in chat, commending Jason there on the intro, which Jason, our voiceover guy, should be commended. That was one of his best intros he's ever done. I mean, he does great work, but
that was
one of my very, very favorites. A great holiday present. Anywhere, where were we? Oh, yes, dead celebrities. So everybody on Twitter, you know, RIP George Michael, right? Because it sucks. Yeah. He was only 53. That's only. Nothing. That's nothing, right?
Yeah.
That's still young. So
but this year, though.
Yeah, this year has been ridiculous.
Prince.
Well, yeah.
David Bowie.
But here's the thing. So, of course, when people start eulogizing celebrities on Twitter, here comes the snark police. Here come the tweets. Well, I'm really happy to hear that when 2017 starts, all those celebrities are going to stop dying. Or, you know...
No.
Something about, like, you know, people die all the time. It doesn't matter that it's 2016 and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, first off, if you don't got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. But for you snarky bitches, take a seat, take all the seats, shut your mouth, and listen for a minute.
Get the tree out of your ass first.
This year, we've lost Prince, we've lost David Bowie, we've lost George Michael, among countless other celebrities. But I named those particular ones in particular because as far as, like, gender bend, queer rock goes, those are, like, some of the biggest names.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Freddie Mercury, but we lost him a long time ago. But out of what we, you know, what we had left in 2016, it really feels like Mother Nature just, pop, 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 you know, just
Dear,
like...
Dear Lady Gaga, don't drive. Don't go out in public.
Just
stay in a safe little bubble.
Tim Curry,
oh my God.
Do not leave your house. Do not, or you know, leave your house to get a sufficient amount of air, but stay in the plastic bubble. But the point why I bring all this up is that, you know, it's the fact that we're losing all these iconic people back to back to back. And we were talking about this a couple weeks ago on the show before I inadvertently condemned Zsa Zsa on the show, which we were talking about, yes, somebody's going to have to die in 2017 because that's just the way life is. But who's 100 years old? Kirk Douglas? Okay. If Kirk Douglas passes away next year, I'm going to be sad, but it's like...
But not surprised.
But he was 100 years old. Right. It was time, right? Same thing with... That's all I ever said about Zsa Zsa.
Pretty much dead already. It's just officially.
So...
Well, no, she was in a coma.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and somebody on my Twitter feed, I made a post about the bubble, and somebody on my Twitter feed said, put Carol Channing in that, too. She's 96 years old. And yes, Carol Channing does belong in the bubble. However, if Carol Channing passes away, I'm going to be like, she was 90,
not surprised.
96 years old.
But she is a fan of Bob the Drag Queen.
So, you know, you can apply this to a lot of the 90-year-old celebrities, except Betty White. Don't you fucking touch Betty White.
Betty White will cut a bitch.
That's right. Anyway,
Death's going to come for her. She'd be like, ho?
Yeah. Flacco Jones in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, the older you get, the more famous people you know die. Ain't that the truth? I mean, when you were younger and you heard about famous people passing away, it was like, oh, it's old people anyway. Mm-hmm. But now, yeah, it's kind of like a reminder of our own mortality. Not to get to a dark place here on Orange Lounge Radio, the show where every gamer has a voice, but it is our special holiday episode.
It's our holiday episode.
And if it's your first time listening to OLR, I would really encourage you to go listen to a different episode of OLR for your first OLR. Not that tonight's,
I don't have enough wine in me.
Not that tonight's going to be bad. Tonight's just going to be fun because Dark Soccer and I mean, this is what happens on December 25th, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever it is you celebrate, is that today you kind of just don't give a fuck. And so
no fucks are given.
Exactly.
We are quite the chaste group tonight.
That's right. That's right. So what is this? What is this, by the way, you brought us to start off with?
Stroopwafel.
Stroopwafel. Does that mean it tastes like waffles?
Stroopwafel.
What's a Stroopwafel taste
this
like?
This is little flat waffle crackers.
I'm actually, if you can hear that clicking, I'm actually opening
What's
this.
What's that clicking noise?
This is that little like dollar store shot thing, although I bet this wasn't a dollar, but it was a little more.
It actually was a dollar.
It was a dollar? Oh, well, then this.
L'chaim.
Ooh, it smells pretty good. Here we go. To winter holidays of your choice.
To fuck.
Okay, hold on. Pardon the silence.
I drank half of it.
Oh my God, it does taste like waffle, kind of.
Right?
I was not expecting that.
Holy shit, this is good. I'm going to get a big fucking bottle of this.
Caramel color. This is good.
I'm not going to eat anymore. I'm just going to drink.
You only paid a dollar for this?
For the little teeny ones. The big bottle's like 11 at Total Wine.
That's a pretty good deal.
Let's go get some.
Wow. All
Sorry, right. Show's over. We're going to get more Stroopwafel.
Anyway, VXJSnakesV in our chat says Stroopwafels are so good. Yeah, this is great.
This is amazing. But it's also fun to say Stroopwafel.
It is.
We are
get to the Stroopwafel.
We are going to give you a play-by-play of what we drink tonight. So this first beverage was, hold on, Van Meer Stroopwafel liqueur. Now we are also enjoying the Chenin Blanc of Charles Spinetta Vineyards.
Yes,
winery.
There's wine here as well. Well, I'm not done with Stroopwafel, so.
Well, I drank mine.
All right.
Also, I had two shots of rum before I came over.
Does this girl know how to party or what?
Well, it was rum from Panama.
Well, dude, they got to drink that. You got to drink that.
Panama.
Anyway, where was I? I'm going to be totally scatterbrained tonight, you guys. So part of the reason we're here on Christmas, second day of Hanukkah, whatever it is the fact that we're actually not going to be live for a little bit.
We're going to be dead.
Stop. Not today. Not the day to make that joke.
I figured I may as well finish it.
Today, not the day to make that joke.
No fucks are given.
No, it is not. So here's the thing. We're going to be gone for the next 2 weeks live, because next week is New Year's and a lot of people are going to be recovering out of town, all that sort of thing. I'm going to be gone at MAGFest in 2 weeks, which I'm not really prepared for how early MAGFest is this year. Although everybody tells me, well, this is the normal time that they do it. And I'm kind of like, you know, I kind of like that February day. It worked out a lot better. But all right, this is the way they party in D.C. So, but I'm going to be MAGFest on January 8th. So we'll be off that week. So we're not going to be back live until January 15th.
You have to see Tiara while you're there.
Hmm?
You have to see Tiara while you're there.
Is she going to be at MAGFest?
No, but she lives in Arlington.
The thing is, I'm going to be kind of on an island in National Harbor. It's really separated over there. Oh. If she want to come do dinner some night or something, I'd totally love to see her.
You should tell her that.
Yeah, I'll have to hit her up on Facebook or
Tiara.
Something.
Tiara.
Anyway, Tiara hasn't been on the show in like 10 years.
Yeah.
Hands up in chat if you remember Tiara. No, but she was fabulous. She ran the Geek-Life, right, when that was still going?
Yeah.
So, and you did Comic Insanity with her, that other podcast
Monday Comic
she did.
Insanity.
Was that what it, Monday Comic Insanity? That was a while ago.
That was a while back.
That was a while back. Anyway.
And I'm planning to start that again. Wink, wink, spike, nudge, nudge.
No subtlety here.
We've been talking about it.
All right. Spike only does this to, what's the word? Spike only does this to spite me because I'm the biggest podcast whore, but no, Spike always has to one-up me with all the podcasts he has. So, you know, but Spike's amazing, so I can't. I can't
I
even.
Right
I can't even joke about hating because I just can't.
I have one, and I need more.
Don't we all? Don't we all need more podcasts?
Mm.
All right. Good. SSU 100 Matt is saying, so far the weather is showing it will be in the 50s that weekend. That's warmer than it is here. I'll take it.
It's 42 right now.
So the 50s? Warmer than that. Love it. All right. Anyway.
I'm on warm inside already because I've had rum and stroop waffle.
I know, right? Like, I'm already feeling this stroop waffle.
You're buzzy. Buzzy beetle with a penguin hat.
This is going to be one of those shows
I got
tonight.
Rob a penguin hat, everybody. Mm-hmm. And if you're on Facebook, you can look at it.
So, did you put it on Facebook?
I did.
When did you take a picture of me with a hat on?
Like, you were talking to Bobby? Did you, like, Rob's like, Bobby.
Wait a minute, that's not nice to do. She ninja'd a picture of me and didn't tell anybody.
It's a good picture. It's just kind of...
Was I holding booze in my hand? Because my mother's on Facebook now.
No, it was before you poured our wine.
All right, good. All right, so let's see, where was I? Oh, yes, no show over the next 2 weeks. Because this show will have killed the show, effectively, for a few weeks. No, but we'll be up. We are looking, though, however, we'll try to do like a pre-tape thing, but I don't want to promise anything. That's the only thing. I don't want to over-promise and under-deliver.
I hear you like tape, so I'm going to tape before you tape.
So don't expect us to be back until the 15th, but you may get pleasantly surprised. Sound
Nobody
good?
Expects the OLR Inquisition.
But it was it's weird to me thinking that... By the time we're back, the Switch will be... I keep wanting to say the Switch will be out. That's not true. But the Switch information, all these mysteries, all the did Zelda get pushed back or not? Is the Switch coming out in March or not? All these questions are going to be answered by the time we're back on OLR. And new ones will be posed. Why does it look like that?
For a moment, I thought you said posed because your hand was out like you were posing. And I was like, ooh, Rob.
There's a question to pose. Why isn't OLR on video yet?
Because reasons.
Because Dark Sakura doesn't want y'all to see her pretty face.
No, my
face
isn't
pretty. You know what I was thinking, though? There's that software that I think Tiger Claw or somebody showed it to me.
I don't mind my face.
Wait, and you're a very pretty lady. You should
what I buy embrace makeup it. For.
But... I was thinking, well, there's those programs that will, like, turn you into a furry on your stream. So you can actually sit there. You could be a penguin or something that talks during the show. We could do that.
I have a kigurumi now.
So wear that to the show and just...
But it's yellow.
I have a Pikachu kigurumi. That could be your thing. You wear a different kigurumi every week to the show.
I can't afford that many.
Ask the listeners nicely to donate. If we move over to Twitch, we can start collecting bits.
I want a red panda kigurumi.
Yeah.
And I wear the regular size from kigurumi-shop.com.
Tiger Claw says face rig. Yeah, I think that's the name of it. I think it is. So I think that was the name of the software. So anyway, the video question I will be tackling in 2017. I would expect something's going to change with that because I'm realizing more and more each day there's a huge untapped audience out there on those streaming sites that we really need to get our faces in front of.
Can we tap them?
So what's that? Can we tap them?
Can we tap them?
Tap the faces? Tap all the faces. So we're going to figure out what to do about that in the coming year.
I need to stop eating these things because they're amazing.
These truffle things?
Uh-huh.
These are really good. This is like
the Ferrero Rocher ones.
This is the quintessential Christmas thing. That shows up because, let's say your aunt didn't want to buy you a big gift, but she had to get you something, so she gets you these truffles. That's what this gift is.
They're the Ferrero Rocher hazelnut.
Don't things. Talk with your mouth full. That's rude.
Fuck.
All right.
I can do what I want. I'm a liberated woman.
Let's try to get into video games a little bit tonight. Let's talk a little. It is, by the way, we do have a we're going to just run through the show. We're not going to have a break tonight. We're going to run through the show straight. And
no, we're not.
We're going to run through the show gaily. And
that's better.
then we're going to
start this off with some gay.
Eat. Well, we're not getting into news yet.
I am. Okay, I don't care.
Tonight, Dark Sakura does what she wants. She looks the show roll head to face and sees that there's a kickoff topic and how was your gaming week? And she says, no, I don't want to. I want to talk about
lesbians.
Fine. You know what? I don't care. Jamie, like do boobs. What you want. Talk. Fine.
No,
start with this.
I've decided to do the kickoff topic.
Then what's tonight's kickoff topic?
I have no idea. Holiday gaming. Did you get any presents?
I did.
You better say yes because I bought you something.
My bestest friend in the whole wide world, Dark Sakura,
yay,
bought me Final Fantasy games on Steam because she saw them on my wish list.
Yay, buy old games for Rob.
And so she bought me the Final Fantasy X and X-2 remaster, which, by the way, do you know why that's on my Steam wish list?
Why?
Because it's the whole Mass Effect 3 thing.
What can I do for you?
So now I own the 10 and 10-2 remaster on PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and thanks to friend buddy pal Sakura, I own it on PC as well. So I own the Final Fantasy, and I have it on PlayStation 2. So I think I own Final Fantasy 10 on as many systems as I own Mass Effect 3.
Yay! I got Alan thingies.
What'd you get, Alan?
The Tales of Symphonia and Tales of Zestria and Undertale.
Oh, he'll like that. Oh, you finally got him Undertale. Good. Maybe he'll finally play that.
I got Loki
that.
Undertale.
Oh, you got Loki Undertale. You bought
and I got him some other game, but I need to find something else because I didn't spend enough money.
You're buying everybody Undertale.
You already have it. I bought your Undertale.
You did.
Fuck. I'm a dealer and I haven't even finished it yet.
And then I bought you games. And I bet you haven't touched them yet. Do you remember what I bought you?
Disgaea.
I did buy you Disgaea PC.
And Ori in the Blind Forest.
That's right. And I bought
you... But it's on your list too, isn't it?
It is, but I own it on Xbox One.
Okay.
So it's another one of those things where it's like, well, I just kind of wanted it on PC as well.
I still have to finish Danganronpa too.
But at some point, you really need to play Ori in the Blind Forest. Because Ori in the Blind Forest is like Super Metroid, mm-hmm. but like cute and sad.
All right, I'll start it. I wanted to play Disgaea, and I'm glad it was on PC finally, but... If Ultra Despair Girls comes out on PC soon, then I'm going to be all over that because I've been playing on Vita TV. I love Danganronpa. I almost bought a Monokuma, Kigurumi, except I don't wear white things, help it.
What's with the... Okay, that begs a whole other question. Question number one. What is with the Kigurumi thing lately? Like this
it's
came
warm
out of nowhere.
And comfortable.
It's
and I'm
practical.
Cold Wait and uncomfortable.
Okay, what is the difference between a Kigurumi and a Snuggie? Cartoon characters. That's it. Because
and
when I was doing the Snuggie thing on OLR, I got teased
and
relentlessly.
Pants.
There's kind of pants on
no,
a Snuggie.
No, there's no pants on a Snuggie. Unless you put your legs through the armholes and then find another Snuggie. Then you look like the biggest shit ever. You look like a blind quilter's creation. That is not the same thing. A Kigurumi, first of all, Snuggies are also made out of the worst material ever to exist. They don't stay cozy. They're soft for like a day and then you wash it and then suddenly it's cardboard.
They are made out of that material that like grandma bought at Walmart in the crafting section.
Kigurumi are nice and soft and fluffy and fleecy, mm-hmm. and it feels like you're wearing a whole blanket, mm-hmm. if you get a good one.
You know, I have my Pikachu Kigurumi. Well, it's Alan's Pikachu Kigurumi, but what's his is mine, right? So I can steal it. Should I wear that to MAGFest?
Yes. Not just yes, but yes. Yes, queen.
All right. Let's see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDev says the booze got to Jamie hard. Just Jamie?
No.
I haven't even finished the Stroopwafel, and I'm already feeling it.
I am only vaguely buzzy right now, but it makes me more talky. And yes, that's what Kigurumi means, Ikuma.
Like I said, if this is your first OLR... The other episodes of OLR are not quite this unorganized or random, but it's the holidays, so fuck it.
L'chaim. Kanpai.
Let's see. Raginator in chat says, Dark Sakura, wouldn't the worst material be a blend of sandpaper and poison ivy?
And corn.
And corn?
Corn is awful. Corn is terrible. And corn gives me hives. No, you know what would be worse if it was like, if it had a habanero glaze on it.
That or mayonnaise. I fucking hate mayonnaise.
The worst. Now, I like mayonnaise, Rob. Mm. And I will say that if you've accidentally burned yourself, mayonnaise is oddly comfortable.
Okay. Why are we talking about wearing mayonnaise? This doesn't make any sense.
You dismissed the greatest of all condiments, sir.
You can stop right there. First off, ketchup, far more versatile of a condiment.
Ketchup is nasty as fuck. Fuck.
Yeah, but you can put it on hash browns.
The only thing ketchup is good for is meatloaf, when you bake it into the meatloaf. And I prefer to use tomato paste.
I don't even like ketchup that much. You know what I like? And some people hate this, so trigger warning. You ready? You know
mustard.
What I love? Mustard. I could do french fries and mustard, but the best thing ever is the soft, soft baked pretzel, the soft fluffy
you
pretzel.
You are doing your hand like you're squeezing someone's nuts.
No, it's a pretzel. It's a pretzel, you fucking pervert. It's a pretzel that you dip in mustard.
You invited me into your home, sir.
I know.
I am now.
And sometimes I ask myself,
I am
why.
Now two shots of rum, a bottle of stroopwafel, and a glass of wine in.
And I've had,
and I ain't stopping.
I've had half the stroopwafel, which this is so good.
Right.
I got to find more.
I'm going to have more wine.
Where does
so
this come from?
Do my story for
the
me.
The land
bye.
Of stroop?
No, it's got a freaking Dutch name on it.
Product of Holland. Oh, this is the product
Van
of my Meers. People.
I married a Dutch guy. Did
I am a Dutch guy.
I'm Dutch by marriage.
I need to call Syl and see if she's got stroopwafel.
I had a dream about Syl. Oh, my God. Okay.
Syl, from the Geek Card.
And formerly Girls Gone
Formerly
Wow.
Girls Gone Wow. What's her other show she has now? Battle Chat Show.
Okay. So I had a dream that I was working somewhere, and my current boss was my boss there, but it was like a different place with like our computers laid out on like folding tables. Excuse me. And Syl was my desk mate. And we looked at each other and it's like, let's go. Let's just go. So we got up and called in sick from our desks, and we went out in my little roller skate Fiat. And also the town kind of looks like Mobile, but a really weird version of it. Like if Mobile had turned into Silent Hill-ish. Mm-hmm. And we found an Indian buffet. Like a hole-in-the-wall Indian buffet. And we got our fucking curry on. And then the next thing I know, I hear, hello! Which is the sound. It's Vanellope saying hello.
Oh, from your iPhone waking up?
On my iPhone. And yeah. It was my sister saying, you want to talk to Dad? I guess. And then I woke up all the way because...
But that dream could have happened. Like, and I've never
it
even
was prophetic.
I've never even met Syl, but this just sounds like something that would happen if Syl and
we'd
Jamie
just
got
be
together.
Like, hey, we're podcasting. You know what? Fuck this. Let's go get some curry.
It could happen tonight.
Fucking curry, yeah.
All right. Anyway, look, before you leave, I want to ask some questions here at the top of the show. So, holiday gaming. Great memories about holiday gaming presents. And I open this up to chat as well. So I know I've told this story on the show previously, but I'm going to tell it again because I'm a little intoxicated. Okay, so when I got the Super Nintendo, right? I got a Super Nintendo for Christmas when I was 12, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's the one thing I really wanted more than anything. And I opened all the presents under the tree and it wasn't there. And so I got sad, but it's like one of those... It's one of those things where it's like you want to be grateful for the stuff you did get, but you're still kind of you're still that like stupid spoiled whore sad, you know, like, but I wanted it so bad, you know, type of thing. So I'm trying to walk that fine line of not showing that I'm sad because I don't want to be that ungrateful asshole, but I actually deep down inside am sad because I'm a nerd and I wanted the Super Nintendo. But then miraculously, a Christmas miracle, my sister shows up, who's 16 years older than I am. My sister shows up. She's really cool. Have you met my sister?
Yes.
She's hilarious.
Your sister looks like Lori Petty in the Tank Girl era.
Yes, she kind of does. Anyway, so not the Orange is the New Black era. Very important distinction. My sister shows up, and she has just a tiny little envelope, and she gives it to me. And the envelope says, go check in the closet. And you go check in that. There's another envelope in the closet. Go check in the backyard. So it's one of those fucking wild goose chase things. It ends under the bed. There's my Super Nintendo. Yay. Christmas is saved. So I get the Super Nintendo and Super Mario World comes with it, right? And my parents got Draken on the Super Nintendo, which I was like, the fuck is this? I mean, you know, I'm still happy I got Super Nintendo. I don't give a fuck. I'm just like happy. And I'm like, oh, cool. Another game. I've never heard of this game, but whatever. Super Nintendo. Ah! You know, I'm really excited. But apparently the guy at Montgomery Ward told my parents that it was like the game everybody was buying. Although I think he lied because I don't know anybody else that owned Draken. But anyway, I didn't appreciate Draken at first, but like it was one of those games like a year later, I kind of went back and I said, why did I never play this game? And I went back and I played Draken. It actually is really cool. It was like one of the, the overworld was in that 90s virtual reality style. Did you ever play Draken? It's kind
of... I know of it.
But the battles were all automated. And that was the weird thing about it, is that when you would run into a monster, your little army of people would just... Hur, 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 and they just start fighting on screen. It was kind of like you couldn't really control them very well. Mm-hmm. So that was the weird part of it, is it was very like not Final Fantasy, which is what I was used to. But I came to appreciate that game a lot later. And you know what was really awesome?
What?
Was Dragon's View, which was Draken 2. And what they did is they took out the auto battling and they put in more like ActRaiser style side scrolling things into it. And that is like a really underrated gem on Super Nintendo.
Kind of like Wonders from East.
I think so. I haven't played Wanderers from Ys in years, but Wanderers from Ys was more, wasn't that more the top-down Zelda
it
style?
It had the top-down, but when you went into caves or dungeons and things,
yes,
it
that's
turned
right.
side-scrolling.
That is right. That is right. So, yeah, classic RPGs that I came to love. So that was a holiday gaming memory that I have. I know I told this story just like a month ago on the show, but there was the time that I got $200 for Christmas and I went and bought a PlayStation and my mom was pissed because that's like the thing she didn't want me to have. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you give me money. What'd you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
So anyway, what about you?
Okay.
Dark Sakura. And then I'll open it up to chatters over at live.vognetwork.com.
I got my Nintendo as a kid, my NES. And then my mom would, like, play it more the fuck than me. And every time she tried to put me on a restriction and hide it, I'd go get it and say, you didn't buy this for me. Daddy bought this for me, so I own it. I was that kid. But
you're that adult.
Fuck yeah. I grew up that way. But the fun thing is that my mom pulls me aside and is like, okay, so I'm going to get your brothers a gaming system. You have to tell me which one to get them. Do I get him a Genesis or a Super Nintendo? And I was like, get him a Super Nintendo. Why? Better graphics, it's got a better sound processor, and it's...
Dark Soccer gets out like this whole table that shows the pros, yeah, and the cons. It's, now, you see here where Nintendo does what Genesis don't. I got that backwards, but, you know, she has her,
yeah,
like, whole charts and graphs.
And I was like, plus, you have to get them The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
Because that's the game you want.
That is the best game. I've seen so many good reviews about it. And you've played the first Legend of Zelda with me, right? You remember how good it was. This one's supposed to be going back to that. Oh, that's a good idea. So my mom buys it. My brother's like, rah! And then she got them Home Alone, which was awful.
It was on terrible. Super Nintendo? There's, yeah, a Home Alone game on Super Nintendo?
There were several.
I remember one on NES. I don't remember it on Super Nintendo.
And then she got a Super Scope 6.
Yes.
And, of course, the game that came with it, I played a lot of Blastress. Now, here's the kicker. Mm-hmm. My brothers didn't have a TV in their room. You know who had the TV in her room? Me.
How did that work? How did you get that?
My dad bought me a TV. So, well, he kept trying to bribe me for my love.
Somebody
so, anyway.
Spoiled rotten.
No, he just was guilty and would buy me stuff to cover his guilt.
All right.
He admitted it.
We're not going to go to a dark place.
You know what?
It is fucking Christmas. Keep
I
it happy.
I can say it because he admitted it when I was an adult. So all right. Whatever.
All right.
And plus, I was actually smart. So anyway, I was like, okay, keep bribing me. I don't care. I'm materialistic. So anyway, so we hooked it up in my room. And of course, my brothers would be like, can we play? No. I am almost unbeatable, and I would scream at whatever. What was that thing that was the big round lizard that kept knocking you off the platform? And you had to keep either hitting it in the head, and it would turn purple. The thing that was like a series of circles, like a centipede. I forgot what it's called. But it was like one of the early levels, and it was the only boss in there that was actually hard. And I would just yell at it, and my brothers would sit there going, oh my God, this is... Can we watch some more? And then they'd like go off to their dads, and I was left with the Super Nintendo, so I was like, oh, it's
nice.
Fine. And then when they moved, they took it with them. So, but by then...
Then your strategy backfired.
Nope. But by then, I went to the pawn store, and I bought myself one.
There you go.
For 30 fucking bucks.
There you go.
And dated a guy who gave me Super Street Fighter 2 and Kirby's Avalanche.
You want to prove you love me? Street fighting.
Seriously, I was
it's the only way to do it.
There was one night though when my brothers were visiting, and we stayed up all night trying to see if the 250 fight thing was in Mortal Kombat 2,
mm-hmm.
And it wasn't.
And you're still scarred to this day.
No pong. Okay, I'm gonna have more wine. You still have half the glass. I'm getting more wine
because I've only drank in the Stroopwafel, but I finally finished it. But I want to go to the chatters and hear some of your stories. So VidPower in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, my most memorable gaming present was me and my brother getting our Super Nintendo and playing Super Mario World all night long.
Yes.
Fifth Dream in chat says, my favorite Christmas was dreaming about getting Donkey Kong and Ms. Pac-Man on 2600 on Christmas Eve and waking up and they were under the tree. Let's see. Dark Tetsuya says, there was the year I got Chrono Trigger. They hid it in a bigger box, so I didn't suspect what it was. Stoppy says, getting an NES is my earliest Christmas gift memory. Ragenator says, I bought the Super Nintendo on my own. The NES, the one that came with Rob the Robot, was the only system that my parents got for me, which I got 29 years ago today. Dungeon Buster saying, Draken was an interesting RPG, and the Montgomery Ward guy was definitely exaggerating. Well, that's why they went
over. Holy shit, I remembered something else, and I think it was Christmas.
What?
When Dan owned the video game store,
uh-huh. I forgot he owned a video game store at some point.
Yeah, Game On. Yeah. I created the name for that, you know.
Did you really?
I did.
I didn't know that.
So anyway, he gives me this huge box. And I'm like, the fuck is this? And I'm like, I thought it was a vacuum cleaner. It was that big. So I open it up and open, dig, 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 dig. And you know what was inside? Pop Full Mail for the Sega CD.
Nice. So it was a gigantic box with a tiny CD in it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, no, with the long box.
Good on you marrying him.
I married well.
Let's see. Going to chat as well. TarsZXF is in chat saying, I remember hours of Uncle Fester's Quest on Rob's NES. Yes, that was the Christmas I ruined because...
Okay, talk about the ruined Christmas.
Okay, well, that's because... Well, my parents to this day don't know it unless they're listening tonight, which I doubt. But my parents had gone to the store, like Bel Air or something, which is a local grocery store, and the big Bel Air bags were sitting on my mom's bed. Well, me being the nosy kid I was, I went to go see, like, what candy did she buy, because I'm going to take it. So I'm looking in the bags, and I noticed in one of the bags was Uncle Fester's Quest for the NES, and I'm like, oh, shit, I put two and two together. I'm like, wow, you just spoiled one of your Christmas presents. So I didn't say anything about it. So I quickly left the room, went somewhere else. And sure enough, what showed up under the tree that Christmas?
Uncle Festa.
But do you know what I did? Okay, so how old would I have been at this time? Probably about 11. This probably would have been like the year before the Super Nintendo. So even from a young age, I like to fuck with my mother in a you know, joking sort of way. So what we did, you know how you used to go out and rent games? So I remember one time we were at the video store. This was between the time I knew what I was getting and before Christmas. And we were looking at games to rent. And I saw Uncle Fester's Quest on the shelf. And I actually pulled it down. And I said, doesn't this game look really good? I think we should rent this one. I should rent this game and I should beat it this weekend. Shouldn't we do that? And my mom was just kind of like doing like that shifty-eyed thing. Like she's just like, she's not even going to say anything, because if she says anything, she'll give it away. She's just like, I'm going to go look at new releases or something. So I didn't end up renting that game, and like you could beat that game in a weekend anyway. But that's my story about how I was a little asshole on Christmas. So there you go. Or at least in the season.
That doesn't exactly ruin Christmas, Rob.
So yeah. And
only for yourself.
Uncle Fester's Quest was kind of an underrated NES game. First off, the Addams Family movies were awesome. That game was based off of. And second off, it was Blaster Master without the blast part. It was just the overworld parts was all that Fester's Quest was. So it was still a fun game, even though it was really, really hard.
Was it kooky?
But it was mysterious and spooky. TarsZXF is one of my oldest friends. I've known him since I was 12 years old. I've known him for a very, very long time, since junior high school. So... I remember going to his house, and this wasn't necessarily during the holidays, but just whenever, and we would play Atari 2600, because him and his brother owned, like, at least what felt like at the time, every Atari 2600 game under the sun. So I remember we would stay up till ungodly hours playing Adventure, Pitfall 2. I think that's where I probably played more Pitfall 2 on Atari 2600 than anywhere else. It's probably over there. So, do you have friends that you go over to their house and just play their games till you beat them, like, all night?
We did that with just about every Magnavox Odyssey, too, because my friend had that. And then we had a ColecoVision, though. We had a ColecoVision before we had any Atari system at home.
TarsZXF in chat says, God, we're old. We raided Denio's regularly for cheap games. Denio's is like the flea market out in Roseville. We still do that today, or at least I do. I'm pretty sure Neil does, too. I still like to go out there today and look for games. Granted, most of the people there that are selling them kind of know what they're worth, so you don't always really get a good bargain out there. But I got Goonies 2 for like $8 last time I was out there. So, and that's a great NES game that I didn't own as a kid. So good times, good times. All right. Anyway, that was a good trip down memory lane. Let's talk about our gaming weeks. What types of video games have you been playing this week, Dark Saga?
I haven't really had a lot of chance to play much of anything. It's just World of Warcraft, but I am now 30 lingering soul fragments in on my quest to save space demon husband elf boyfriend in the game story. It's a fucking weird story. And then I finally bought a chopper. So I have the motorcycle, and I have the Sands of Time, so that's pretty cool. But that's really about it. Oh, no. What did we play? Oh, yeah, I'm playing Pokemon Go. I finally got a Clefairy. So, yay, that's it. And Miitomo, of course, but that's it. Really.
I'm still eating. You got to make your gaming week longer.
I also played Chase Midna all over the house. And Hiccup. And,
Okay.
Okay, I'm done.
I'm done. Let's see. My gaming week. I've played a lot of the same stuff as previous weeks. I've been continuing with Endgame and Final Fantasy XV, which is going back and doing all the side quests I didn't do in the beginning. So I'm making my way through that a little bit. Been playing other random stuff. I was playing Crypt of the NecroDancer very randomly last night. Played a little bit of Overwatch, even though I'm still terrible at that game, but it doesn't stop me from being bad. But I did play one new game. So Alan bought me some games in the Steam sale for Christmas. And one of the games he bought me is something that's been sitting on my list for the longest time. It's a game called Grim Dawn is the name of it. And it was on my wish list because it's a Diablo-esque kind of game. And so, you know, click party, one of those types of games, click all the things and get the loot. So I've been playing that a little bit. I've only spent maybe like an hour in it, but it's pretty good so far, except for the fact that it doesn't really handhold you very much, which I understand. I think it's supposed to be more of a hardcore type of one of those games. There's a lot of like veteran mode and difficult modes and stuff like that. And, you know, so I don't think the game is really meant to handhold you very much, but I would have just liked a little more explanation to some of the stuff because, like, I guess it's this thing with those games, and this is true of Diablo as well, is that I want to spec my character really well from the get-go, but you know you're going to fuck up your first character really bad, and you're just going to have to play everything over again. And I feel like that's what I'm doing right now with the current character that I'm running. But that's okay. I'm still having fun with it, and that's the important thing. And sometimes you just want to pick skills because they're cool. And I think that's important in a game, too, is that you don't necessarily have to min-max everything. You just want to sometimes play things because they're cool. So, like, my character, I have a shaman, and my move is throwing bugs at people. And that's cool. So I kill people by throwing bugs at them. So that's – and I don't even know – like, when I try to look up builds for shaman, I don't see that move listed anywhere. So it must not be a very efficient move. But it's fun, and that's what's important. So I'm throwing a lot of bugs at people in Grim Dawn and finding lots of loot to click on. So, I think that's really about it. Probably Grim Dawn. And, I feel like there's some other game I got into randomly this week and I can't think of it off the top of my head. And it's probably the alcohol kicking in a little bit that's doing that to me. But I feel like I was playing more classic games as well. You know what it was? What I also played? Pac-Man Championship Edition 2. I played.
Fun.
Which for some reason people give a lot of shit compared to the original and the DX Plus and all that stuff, which I understand because DX Plus is like modern day Pac-Man perfection. It's freaking amazing and it's really hard to improve on that formula. But I think there's a lot of like flashiness and music is really good in part two, and there's a lot of stuff to really enjoy about two. The one flaw is the part where you have to chase the ghosts around the board when the ghosts are running on rails and everything amps up at nitro speed, and it can be very difficult to actually chase the ghosts, but it looks really cool when you get them. But that's the only thing, like, it does throw the rhythm of the game off, and I think that's where a lot of people have a problem with it. So, but otherwise, I like it. Good stuff. All right, so that's it for our Game of Weeks. Yes?
Yes.
Nothing else to mention for now. All right, no. So I will mention, of course, Twitter. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, we are here tonight on December 25th doing a live show for fun for y'all. But we will not be here for the next 2 weeks live because next week is New Year's. There's other stuff going on. And in 2 weeks, I will be at MAGFest. So if you're going to be at MAGFest in the D.C. area, I highly encourage you to pay attention to our forums over at VogNetwork.com, where SSG100 Matt has already started a thread to try to organize people. Because I don't have like a panel or anything like that. Like, I'm not, like, nobody cares.
You're
so,
not doing a thing.
No, I'm not doing a thing. So, but I would like to do some type of like unofficial meetup or just kick back and play old school video games. You know what? We need to find a place to play the Guardian Legend and play
and
it.
Cry.
And cry.
Cry.
Because that's what the last PAX I ever went to, that's what happened, is that Bobby Blackwolf made the mistake of saying, you know, I've never played the Guardian Legend.
Gasp.
So I said, no, and I said, I looked him right in the eye and I said, we are fucking fixing this right now. And so we went to the classic game room because, you know, it was still early in the day, so a lot of people hadn't opened yet. And I was like, you know, one copy, you have to trade your driver's license, one copy of Guardian Legend, please. And we went and I made him play it. And a good time was had by all.
Yes.
And then I played Kid Icarus as far as I could, which I think I got to like the first dungeon before I had to kind of give up my seat. So we need to do that at MAGFest. I want to play some old school NES games because Lord knows I can't play the new ones. We can try to play the new ones, but
I'm trying to sing the song and I'm like losing my place.
That's all right. It's all right. You've had a little bit to drink. You've had
a little.
Just a little.
Just a little. Here, catch.
What are you throwing at me?
Balls. Oh,
more candy.
Eat it. I'm going to do a story now.
All right. Yes. Let's get into some news. Well, I was just going to see if our chat had anything to say.
Too bad. Our turn.
Over at live.vognetwork.com.
You know what the story's about?
We'll check in later. What?
What's lesbians.
Pay attention. Listen up.
If you play Overwatch UK. Okay. I'm sure everyone knows it by now. Tracer's a lesbian. She likes to munch carpet.
Jamie.
She likes fish tacos.
Jamie. You're not supposed to say those things. She's had a bit to drink.
I'm not.
I don't think so. I think.
Is it bad?
Well, we live in that culture where everybody gets offended really easy. So you got to watch what you say.
Well, yeah, but I do too.
My favorite thing I've heard from all this is, cheers, love, the Calvary's queer. That's my favorite thing I've heard from all this.
And for the record, absolutely no problem with lesbians. Or anybody. The people I have a problem with are assholes. Assholes.
Well, Reaper's kind of an asshole. So whatever. Does it balance itself out?
Okay. And by the way, didn't we just have a big discussion at the end of last week's show that was nothing but cunt?
I think that was after the show was done recording, but yes.
Oops.
Anyway, I want to mention this in chat because I think this is being said very tongue-in-cheek, but I'm going to address it anyway. Santa and chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, I read the comic. I'm not convinced Tracer is a lesbian. British people kiss each other all the time. Wasn't that on a forum? I think it's tongue-in-cheek because I think that was one of those forum posts. Did you see the screenshot of the forum posts?
No, but I don't care because
they my favorite. I'm a top 500 straight male Overwatch player. And all the responses were like, how do you measure that? Because what the guy meant to say was that he was a top 500 player and happened to be a straight male. But like all the responses were like, how do you prove that you're one of the top 500 straight males of the planet Earth? How do you prove that? Is there a,
do you, like,
is there a measurement,
like,
system?
A dick litmus test?
Is there?
Nope, no gay on this dick.
Is there?
This dick has never been in a butt.
Wow, Jamie, cut back on the liquor. Jesus. We're going to get emails tonight. This show's going to end up on Tumblr, and I'm going to be embarrassed. All right. So let's
okay, see. For the record, again. Oh, my God.
What?
First of all. You see, now I'm sober again.
Okay.
Because
it's like a switch that you just turn on and off.
It is, pretty much. I have to drink some more. First of all. Everyone who's listened to the show knows that I will say whatever I want, whenever I want, for whatever reason I want, that are only known to me.
That doesn't make it okay.
Number two.
You're problematic.
Number two. Everyone who listens to the show knows that I am a very tolerant person that judges nobody unless they have earned my judgment.
With bad grammar.
With bad grammar. Or for being a dick. But there are certain things that people need to learn of intent. So now I'm going to go back and talk about the lesbian.
Okay, wait, I have to address this comment in chat. Barb, my favorite character from Stranger Things, in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, Extifer is a top 500 gay, no tea all shade. Barb, although I appreciate you being here, let's be real, Extifer is not a top anything. Oh, come on. That comment invited itself. Come on. Come on.
By the way, if you want to edit all of that out,
I'm not editing anything. Come on.
Whatever.
Anyway, let's talk about Tracer.
Yes, she's gay.
Oh, yeah, the comment from Santa, the forum post. Important.
But it's wrong.
No, it's not. It's absolutely right. One of the writers came out and said Tracer identifies as lesbian.
Michael Chu said it.
There, thank you.
The senior game designer.
That's it, thank you.
He designed her.
Research.
He is her god. And he made her gay. She didn't choose to be gay. She was born that way. So fuck off.
Top 500 straight males of the world.
Top 500 straight. Top. Dick litmus test. It's the dick.
Well, this is this. Okay, so this is a big deal because Tracer is kind of the poster child for Overwatch. I mean, there's a few things you could say about this. I mean, one of my favorite comments I've seen on this is, well, isn't everybody in Overwatch gay? And, you know, that's probably true. But the fact that Tracer is the one that's on the box and Tracer's, you know, was the very first hero in one of the trailers, right? Maybe Winston.
She is the
maybe
poster
Winston,
girl.
But she's the poster for girl for Overwatch. And, you know, Overwatch is the biggest game of 2016. In many different ways. And for them to come out and be like, oh, by the way, Tracer just happens to be gay, you know, I think was a great thing for... And people always want to have this fucking argument about, does it matter? You know, it doesn't matter. Why can't she just stay in the closet and all this
stuff?
No.
No one should have to fucking stay in the fucking closet, which is why I am being as fucking crude as I can be.
Doesn't everybody like to see themselves a little bit?
Why don't you go back
bit?
To your little closet?
Doesn't everybody like to see themselves a little bit in a game somewhere?
Do straight people have a basement, maybe?
There are top 500 straights in almost every single video game. So let the lesbian gamers out there, and believe me, there are some lesbian gamers out there that will kick your ass.
We finally have ace representation.
Do we?
Maya. In, Borderlands.
Oh, that's right.
I asked at GamerX.
Yeah.
And her god said.
Yeah. Do you talk to gods often in your thoughts?
They created these worlds. They're
anyway,
the
let me finish my thought.
Well, fine.
My thought was, seeing yourself reflected in video games, yes, that's important. Why do people have the whole create your character mode? And why do people razz those create your character modes when it's missing obvious things like, you know, the ability to change your skin color and things like that? Because people want to be able to see themselves in games. And that's why representation of sexuality is really a great thing. Representation of different skin colors, men and women and gender and all that stuff. These are all great things. And again, and I can't stress this enough, because people always think like, oh my god, they're taking over and there's not going to be any top 500 straight characters left. And that's not the case. Nobody is saying to take away characters. You don't need to take away anything. Just add a little bit of rainbow.
I like this one person's quote on Twitter. I love Tracer's new voice line. I am gay and playing as me makes you gay. And how her alt sends an email to your dad that reads, "Dad, I'm gay."
Well, and that's the other side of it, is that, you know, if there's that whole perception of, well, she doesn't need to announce to the world that she's gay or whatever. Well, then by that same
fucking matter,
then by that same token, playing as her in the game means nothing except you're a cheap motherfucker because I always get killed by fucking Tracer. I can't stand her. But that has nothing to do with the fact that she's a lesbian. That just has everything to do with the fact that she's cheap.
Well, and I mean, it's just, and this is the thing, it's, everyone needs to have something that's gonna tie them to the world of the game. Something that makes the characters live for them, you know?
True facts. The first time I played Mass Effect, I wasn't into it. Like somebody, it must have been somebody driving the Mako in Mass Effect 1 or something where I, you know, one of the like not so great parts of Mass Effect 1 where I must have been like, I'm not really into this game. It wasn't until somebody said, did you know that in this game you can have like a male-male relationship and it's really well done and it's thought out and it's not like ridiculous or, you know, like totally like token or whatever. It's just, it's something that feels very natural to the plot and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That made me interested in playing the game because, yes, I wanted to see that represented in a game somewhere. I was like, wow, that's a story that I would like to hear more about, right? So that got me to play Mass Effect. And now I love Mass Effect. And that's one of many reasons why I love Mass Effect. Mass Effect is a great fucking game for a variety of reasons. That is one of them.
I also think that apart from just the representation factor, you know, the one thing that is going to attract a person to the game or make someone go, hey, this game has someone like me in it, is the fact that it's also acknowledgement that it's not abnormal. You know? That it shouldn't matter.
Now, Tiger Claw in chat says, let's not forget, Tracer was the one who was in the middle of controversy because of her butt pose. You remember that a few months ago? It was actually before Overwatch was out, but there was a pose that somebody had made a post and kind of complained about it a little bit, and Blizzard said, you know, we were kind of thinking about changing it anyway, and they changed it back. And then everybody piped up out of all the different ends of Twitter and stuff saying, you shouldn't change it. Stick to your vision. Stick to what you had planned and all this stuff. And now Tracer comes out of the closet and it's like, well, maybe you shouldn't stick to your vision.
And you know what? People are going to be offended.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. The things that you shouldn't, that you should take to heart for offense are when people truly intend to be fucking offensive. When people are trying to repress your rights. When people are trying to tear down the programs that help us and keep us alive. When people are trying to ruin the world that we live in and make it only safe for people who fit one mold. Those are the people that you should offend the ever-living fuck out of. So, do it. And you know what? If they get offended by a lady in a fictional environment who loves other women and likes to smooch and do other things in bed, their fucking face.
Blizzard is never going to go into detail about that because it's just
but
not
I can
important.
Picture it and it's kind of hot. So anyway, you take that and you rub it in their fucking face. This is your reality. You cannot live in your little closed bubble, closets don't exist dream. Fuck you. That's how I feel.
I was going to say something that was just going to rile you up even more.
Do it. Rile me. I'll drink some more.
But Dark Sakura, in my America now, I get to build a wall. And I get to wall off those images.
And make Mexico pay for it.
Moving on. Havoc978 in chat says, if only people cared about the payload this much. Amen. Amen.
You know what? Two glasses in.
All right, let's move on to another story. Let's move on to something else that talks about, hey, The Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. That's right. This hot new game. This hot new game that all the kids are getting under the trees this Christmas. All right. So here's the thing. I don't know why this is making the rounds this week on the blogs, but it is. Because it comes from an interview from January 1992. But people unearth things. And it is kind of cool. And it's worth talking about because this is, you know, a legendary game. So here it is. This was a Famicom Tsushin interview with Shigeru Miyamoto. And they were talking about what other ideas for Link to the Past had to be cut because of the 8 megabyte limitation. Miyamoto says, a lot. You can't just throw every good idea you have in a game. The idea has to connect up with something else in the game, and there needs to be consistency between the ideas. There was a ton more we wanted to do. And when pressed, Miyamoto said, one idea was with the lantern. If you used it on a grassy area, it would cause a huge brush fire. If you cut a little circle of grass around you, you could safely stand there in the middle of it. That sounds kind of cool. I'm all for starting fire.
It's common sense.
I'm all for starting fire in games. And then when pressed further, anything else? Miyamoto said, in swamp areas, you could use a shovel to dig a ditch. And then if you bombed the swamp breakwater, it would cause the water to rush in the hole you dug. The idea was actually half complete. If we had another 6 months, we might have been able to make it a reality. So, kind of neat. I just like these sorts of tidbits because I like to hear about what really went into these games. This reminds me of a story a couple weeks ago about how Super Mario Brothers 3 was originally, they were designing it as overhead. You remember we were talking about that on the show? So I like these little tidbits about old games and hearing how things transformed and things that had to get cut and all that stuff. It's the type of stories I'd like to hear also about Final Fantasy 15. Because we all know stuff got cut in Final Fantasy 15. So I'd kind of like to hear about some of the decisions they made and why they did it. So anyway, just kind of a cool, like, this is something that could have been, but it's not type of story. That's it. Dark Sakura.
Valve owes some money. Money.
Valve owes us any game starting Valve with the number three.
Valve owes us a freaking Half-Life 3 already, but they have actually been found guilty by the Australian Federal Court by the, well, at the Australian Federal, I can't make words happen, Rob, by the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, the ACCC, that they were guilty of violating consumer law in Australia. And so now they last month they said that Valve's fine for the breaches should reach around $3 million Australian dollars, which is about $2.15 million United States dollars. And the judge basically is like, yep, we think that's right. So now they have to make that payment for it. So it's like, basically what happened is that if a game or a product is deemed defective or not acceptable quality or unfit, then the consumer is entitled a refund. And so there were many refunds that Valve did not allow through or did not process. And so that's where all that money has to go. So, and then along with the fine, Valve actually has to put up a link on the Steam homepage in a typeface of at least 14 points Times New Roman. Who the fuck uses Times New Roman? Seriously?
Romans.
They're dead.
New ones.
Oh, New Romans. Okay. You know where that font came from?
Rome?
Supposed to be for the New York Times.
Oh, okay.
So anyway. True story. So anyway, they have to make that visible to anyone who opens that page within Australia. So, but Valve hasn't been sentenced to any kind of
death,
booting, as they call it. So, whatever. So they are, but they have implemented a refund policy in August as of last year.
You know, we were just talking about this a little bit last week on the show, the whole backlash against Valve, which I guess, I don't know if this really plays into that or not, but it's just very interesting to see how, like, Steam kind of, and especially with the sale just having happened on Steam, I mean, a lot of people are participating and involved, but I don't know, it hasn't felt like the big event that it used to. And I don't know if that's because of Humble Bundle or Good Old Games, the fact that there's other options now, or just the fact that, you know, I think people are starting to get a little irritated that Valve will not make a Half-Life 3, a Portal 3, a Left 4 Dead 3, or really anything at all that isn't Dota, or the Vive stuff, which, you know, funny because now I'm naming all these things that are out there. But if you can't afford a Vive, then that stuff might as well not exist. And Dota is a very kind of specific sort of game that not everybody's into. So, you know, I just feel like Valve really needs to come back and do a game that everybody can get into. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, Valve has until February 20th to appeal. Whether or not
they probably will. Yeah. Everybody appeals.
Yeah, I will appeal to you for crackers if you have any.
I don't know if we do. You'll have to bug Alan.
Why don't you have crackers?
We might. There might
you
be.
You knew
like,
this was happening.
There might go raid that little
waffles.
Cubble. Do you have more Stroop waffle?
No, I
that
don't.
Shit was good. All right.
I don't want to drink the rest of the wine bottle by myself.
VXJ6V in chat says, everybody didn't get into Half-Life, nor Portal, not Team Fortress 2, nor are they all into Dota 2 either. Was there nothing in the orange box? Nothing in the orange box to satiate you? But maybe if that's the case, though, then you're not also chomping at the bit for Valve to make something new. I mean, when was the last time Valve put out a console game? When was the last time Valve put out a console game? Portal 2, right?
Yeah.
And how long ago was that? A while.
A while.
So, just saying. It's been a little while.
It was first Xbox, wasn't it?
Portal? Portal
the
1 was.
The orange box.
Oh, the orange box was first Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and PC. Portal PC. 2. Obviously PC. But
yeah.
All right. Anyway. Let's see. Moving on. Let's talk about. I want to talk about streaming software and websites and stuff, because you know all the talk is always about Twitch, but there's other stuff out there. You know, YouTube gaming, and this other new site kind of caught my eye this week, which I thought was interesting, and I'm curious what you guys think about this website. I want to talk about Beam. Have you heard about Beam? Beam is a newer video game streaming website. It's beam.pro is where you can find it. And Beam was bought by Microsoft not that long ago. So Beam is now a Microsoft property. And Beam did these big updates today, or not today, but in this past week, saying that they are readying their live streaming service for Xbox and Windows. And I guess that went out in beta, although I haven't seen it yet. I've just seen what's on their website and on their iPhone app and all that stuff. But Beam's big thing, if you don't know, and this is why I'm kind of into it, they're really big on interaction. They want to really be about interactive streams. So they're testing this low latency thing where, you know, just within seconds, not even seconds, what you see on the video, you can respond to in chat, and you can have more of a real. It's kind of like the way Twitch used to be back when it first started until they got really big. But then, as I understand it, Twitch kind of, you can enable a mode now on Twitch where you can kind of go back to that. But I think there is still a latency of like probably like 10 seconds. Beam, I think, is trying to get it lower than that. And then as you watch these streams on Beam, you get little credits. That like little lightning bolt credits that you can then use to like interact with streams. You can play little sound clips, or I don't know what all goes into it, but you can do these little interactions. But then, as I understand it, they're also encouraging game designers to design games where people could make things spawn in the game. And you've seen a little bit of this already with stuff, and again, over on Twitch, with things like the Jackbox Party Pack, what, Tomb Raider had some of this as well, right? So you're seeing this already, but Beam really wants to kind of focus that and play it out in a very low latency environment. So I think it's interesting. The competition stuff is very interesting. Beam is also talking about that the max bitrate is now 10 megabits per second and supports 60 frames a second rendering speed up to 2560 by 1440 resolution. So, also a new homepage and all this other stuff. HTML5 player that eliminates Flash, better video on demand playback, and all this stuff. They are saying that Xbox One and Windows support is coming sometime in the winter, and there will be new hybrid applications to mobile in 2017. Beam right now, 100,000 monthly users as of August. Twitch, 100 million. So, there's quite a few more people on Twitch than Beam.
Yeah.
But the competition stuff is always interesting. It's interesting to see what they might come up with. I've used the website. I actually signed up for an account over there just to check it out and poke around. It's a slick interface. It's very flashy. I like the interface over there. And I do like the gamification of the streams. I do think that's a neat concept, and I really want to see what they do with that more. Because I feel like, you know, yeah, Twitch supports it, but Beam feels like it's built around it.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of neat. I want to see what they do with that.
That's cool.
Over in chat, everybody in chat is like, Bleem? Are you talking about Bleem? No, I'm not talking about a fucking emulator on the Dreamcast. It's something else.
Bleem was an up-resing
yes.
thing. And Tekken 3 for Bleemcast was pretty cool.
So there you go. Let's see. Akuma JP in chat says, bought by Microsoft, another great software going into the abyss. Look, you knew Microsoft was not going to sit by and watch Amazon run the show. Amazon and Google, I guess, because YouTube Gaming. They're not going to sit by and watch those two run the show. And yes, I know there's other things like Hitbox, but I would bet the user numbers of those bases are probably similar to where Beam is at, right? So, Dungeon Buster says the delay is noticeably lower versus Twitch. VXJSnixV says, I expect very little to come out of those features on Beam. And Kaijudo says, Beam sucks too. I'm assuming Kaijudo thinks they all suck. I don't know. I'm just assuming. I don't know.
You just can't please some people.
Dungeon Buster says, a streamer I used to watch went over to Beam because of the community tools alone. See, that's going to be what's interesting, because if Beam can woo the big Twitch people over, at least enough of them, that's how you're going to really get competitive. Same thing with YouTube Gaming, right? So I'm curious to see how this plays out. You know, like back, probably, what, 3 years ago before YouTube got into this, I know I sat here on the show and went, why is nobody trying to compete against Twitch? Why does Twitch run this show all themselves? What's going on here? So I kind of think a lot of these people are showing up late to the party. But if you can woo people over with the right features, hey, MySpace, we all thought that was going to be a thing forever at one point. And LiveJournal, we all thought that was going to be a thing forever. Right. And, well, LiveJournal still exists. Not that I'm saying Twitch is going to suffer the same fate. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying none of this stuff is invincible, right? With the right features and all this stuff, it could be a different internet tomorrow.
Yes.
So, I'm going to keep my eye on it. I'm just curious. You know, I'm still into Twitch, but I like what I'm seeing at Beam. I'm just kind of curious what develops when they put out the Xbox app and all this other stuff. So
they'll grow up.
We'll see. We'll see what happens as they age and all of that.
Well,
let's move on.
How about something that has nothing to do with aging?
Dragon
Quest.
Well, that series is getting older.
Well, yeah. So are we all. Dragon Quest is actually going to be involved with the Universal Studios Nintendo thing that's going to happen. They're doing something called Real Battle Attraction that will involve getting weapons, going into dungeons, and battling monsters. It's also going to be, overseen by Ryutaro Ichimura, who is the general producer of the series, so that it's authentic. So it'll be great. It'll be fun. And I want to go. So someone send me a ticket right now.
So you need Kukurumis and a trip to Japan.
I'll just deal with the trip to Japan.
That'll and then we can have Orange Lounge video.
Yeah. It'll be Orange Lounge Travelo.
All right. Moving on to an article about the NES Mini, which obviously has been a big thing this holiday season. The NES Mini has sold in 30 days what the Wii U sold in 6 months. That's right. The classic NES Mini has sold 196,000 units were sold. That's just in November. That's not even counting December. And of course, I'm going to make the obvious reference here. Just imagine how many more of these they would have sold if they could have kept these fucking things on shelves and actually made the amount of NES minis to match the demand for the Wii, or to match the demand that was out there, basically. By comparison, Nintendo shifted 220,000 of the Wii U's in a six-month period. So a little bit more of the Wii U, but honestly, that's pretty crazy. Also, by the way, 261,000 units of the Mini Famicom sold in Japan in 1 week. Crazy. Well, we'll see. I'm curious to see what this plays out in January or in February or so forth, you know, if they're able to keep these things on shelves, if people are still buying them, what it looks like. But it does have me thinking, you know, if Nintendo really wants to sell a lot of these Nintendo Switches, maybe they should consider, maybe not necessarily building in the classic NES Mini, but maybe they should just consider bundling in 30 classic games into the Switch by default. And yes, look, I understand Nintendo can make a lot of money off virtual console games because people are still going to buy Zelda Link to the Past no matter how many times you put it out there. But just imagine if Nintendo would just reach to their catalog, pull out 30 games from the NES, the Super Nintendo, and package it all into the Nintendo Switch and say, hey, and as part of being an early adopter of the Nintendo Switch, you know, kind of like the 3DS Ambassador thing, I guess, even though the Ambassador program was to save that console from flopping. Imagine if they just said with the Nintendo Switch, hey, if you buy this console in the first year, you're going to get 30 games free. Classic. I mean, I think the Switch would stand to sell very well, just like the NES Mini, because, again, these strong games clearly are pushing the consoles. It really does blow my mind that the classic NES Mini sold as well as it did. And I think a lot of that is probably, you know, 30-something parents who grew up with these systems buying this stuff so their kids could play the same games they did when they were their age. I think there's a lot of that going on. So, Act Deft in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, Switch is $300, and for day one buyers, you'll get 30 NES classics for virtual console. Honestly, that's the way for Nintendo to do it. Although I wouldn't do day one buyers, because you know they're not, that you know there's going to be stock problems. Don't make the stock problems worse. But maybe like for the rest of 2017 or something. Through holiday 2017, all those people are going to get the classic games. But VidPower in chat brings up another good point. The NES Classic Mini is also attractive due to its price point. Right, it's only $60. You know, the Switch is going to be like $250, $300. But again, I think at least if Nintendo, you know, can throw in some of their back catalog to really sweeten the pot, Nintendo really needs to stop this shit of 1 to 2 virtual console releases a week. I mean, they can continue to do that, but they need to launch their system. The Switch ought to fucking launch with 50 virtual console games in the pool. Even if they don't give them away, they ought to have like 50 games waiting to be picked up. Like, yes. Don't... And they did this on the Wii U. They waited way too fucking long on the Wii U for this. Switch needs to do this day one, virtual console, and a lot of games and some free games to sweeten the pot. And if that sells more hardware, then you know what? Nintendo's going to win in the long run. So...
Nintendo already wins. In my heart.
TarzyXF in chat says, also appliance-like nature. Instant play, no updates. Great point. If this Switch is at home and connected to Wi-Fi, it should download the fucking updates while it's sleeping and then update itself. I mean, the 3DS kind of does this, so we know Nintendo is capable. Except even with the 3DS, you have to wait. Like, you have to acknowledge that the update's about to begin, and you have to wait. And I'm assuming the reason they do this is because many people put their games right in the middle of the game and then sleep their 3DS. And if it were to do a system upgrade while you're right in the middle of a game, you'd lose your progress in that game. So I can kind of understand that, but I think the Switch should have something set up so that if you're not in the middle of a game or you're on the main menu or something, that it should update automatically. It should just do it. That would be very important. Dark Tetsuya says, I think the Wii U kind of does it too. It does, but not with the software. And I know this because I forgot to mention this earlier. I played Super Smash Brothers on Wii U for the first time in months this week. And we put in the disc, we were ready to play, and had to wait for it to update. Now, granted, it didn't take very long for it to update, thank gosh, but it's no fun to sit there and wait for the fucking thing to update when you're ready to play. So, yes, these things should do it while the device is asleep. I like that. Appliance-like nature. That is important. All right. You know what? We need to take a trip back. We need to go back to a time when it was simpler. And there was no updates. You got what you got with your system. And if you didn't like it...
Too bad.
Too bad. Dark Soccer's going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey...
Stumble into it.
You need to play this game or I hate you.
I hate everybody anyway, Rob.
Dark Sakura, what is the classic game of the week?
The game is Tapper.
I figured it was appropriate for tonight, even though we have drunk no beer at all.
No, this is a great choice. I love this. This is one of my favorite classic games, like ever.
I'm surprised I haven't done it either, but I'm very getting surprised to that point, you know?
I'm also very surprised that I recognize the name of this game when it's not Root Beer Tapper, because all I ever played was Root Beer Tapper. Well, I don't think I ever played just Tapper.
Well... The difference with the two, I mean, Tapper came out in 1983 by Bally Midway, and basically you play as a bartender, and you have to serve your patrons and collect the empty mugs and your tips. Tapper was called Tapper because it was associated with Budweiser. When the Budweiser branding expired in 1984, they did Root Beer Tapper, and it was developed specifically for arcades. Because the original version was considered advertising alcohol to minors. Since
yeah, I always thought that's why they did Root Beer Tapper in the first place. I never realized it was a license thing. I mean, I figured the license thing came into play later.
It was partly a license thing.
Huh.
But they also did it so that it would be able to be had in more arcades. Whereas Tapper was supposed to be more like four bars or adult-oriented locations. You know.
Like titty bars.
I guess. But it was, the patent for it was, filed in 1984, covering the game and its variants. Tapper was also ported to, the Atari 8-bit, machines, the Atari 5200, Atari 2600, BBC Micro, ColecoVision, Commodore 64, MSX, ZX Spectrum, and IBM PC and Amstrad CPC. Most of the home versions had a Mountain Dew logo, but had the bartender of the original arcade game instead of the soda jerk from Root Beer Tapper. It had four different bars that you would play in. And so patrons would basically arrive at the end of the bar and then want their drink, and then you have to serve their drink. They slide their mug back and you refill the mug and you go serve more booze or root booze. Root beer. Root beer. Did I say root booze? Oh my god. So anyway, your goal is to push the customer completely off the screen. but if they are not, they will stay and drink their drink where they are. And so when the customer finishes the drink, he slides the mug back and you keep going. So you basically have to keep taking care of all of your customers. You have different settings. You have the Western bar with a couple of cowboys. And you have a sports bar with athletes, a punk bar with punk rockers, and a space bar with aliens. It's like, really?
I think I've seen the alien level one time.
Yeah.
On the 360 version of this game.
Well, and of course, the first version of the game was sponsored by Anheuser-Busch, so they had the Budweiser logo in the back. And the machine was supposed to be sold to bars with the cabinets that looked like bars. And actually, if for anyone who's ever watched John's Arcade, he has a tapper behind him that has the classic side panel art that looks like the old school or the old timey bartender, you know, like a saloon bartender. And they also, some of the machines were designed to look like bars with brass rail footrests and drink holders. And the first machines had controllers that looked like Budweiser beer tap handles. And then they were replaced by cheaper beer taps with the Budweiser logo on them. The music, though, was created by Rick Hicardo, who was the sound designer, who also was supposed to be a pretty talented musician, and he used a proprietary sound synthesizer that was developed at Marvin Glass & Associates for all the sound effects and music. And it was called the Synclavier 2 sound synthesizer, which was pretty much a professional synth that that contained a 16-bit computer and synthesizer keyboard in it. So it was pretty crazy for its time, sound design that was with it. And this one was, instead of creating the music note by note in code, it was actually recorded on the keyboard first and then recorded directly into memory and burned directly into the ROM. So it had like different, you know, versions of Oh Susanna and Buffalo Gals and the Can Can. So the music in that was fairly unique for its time. It had re-releases for the Midway Arcade Treasures for PlayStation 2, Xbox, GameCube, and PC, and Midway Arcade Origins for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. Root Beer Tapper was released on Xbox Live Arcade for Xbox 360 in 2007 and has since been delisted. And there's a modern interpretation for mobile devices called Tapper World Tour. They came out in 2011. And the style, though, in the art was almost identical to an earlier game called Domino Man. And then another game after that called Timber. And in fact,
I fucking love Timber.
The main character for Timber is a rework of the main character in Tapper.
This whole era of Bally Midway arcade games is some of my favorite stuff. Like, for real. Like, I love those Midway Treasure games that existed that have this, and Timber, and some, like, Satan's Hollow, and some of the other games that were, like, around the same time. Yeah, this is a also, great era of gaming.
This game was an inspiration for Plants vs. Zombies.
Get out, really?
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense. It makes sense.
Having to defend against a constantly approaching new thing in
Wait,
all
is
these
Tapper
lines.
The reason we have tower defense games? Because if so, I'm a little upset. I'm just kidding.
Well, and Tapper was also featured in Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
But the world record for Tapper was set on December 5th, 2015 by Kelly Tharp of Louisville, Kentucky.
Apologize to Brad from Pod Culture.
Louisville. And it was set in Humble, Texas at Totally Amused. And it was a Twin Galaxies Golden Age Showdown event that this happened at. And then there you go. There is a clone, by the way, called Brewmaster that came out on the TRS-80 color computer.
Cool.
Now we're done.
There it is, your classic game of the week. Tapper. Or as I remember it, root beer tapper. But tonight, it's Tapper.
Yeah, tonight is Tapper.
I would love to have a cabinet of this, actually. You know, I kind of got that whole, like, itch, like, I want to get a cabinet in the house. Like, even though we totally don't have room for it, and Alan is going to judge me so harshly. But I'm thinking, like, you know, if we were to arrange things a little bit and move, like, this little thing on the cart here. I know this is great when we don't have video, but move this thing on the cart here into the back room, I could put a cabinet right there. And you know I want a baby Pac-Man machine more than anything.
Could have made that happen.
I know. There was one here locally, and I almost pulled the trigger on it, but it just sometimes it's right, sometimes it's not right. I know you were trying to enable me so bad. I almost bought it.
Because I told you that we would buy it if you decided you never wanted it again.
I know, but then I was
we're giving you an out.
But money and responsibility.
Fuck money and responsibility. The purpose of money is to spend it.
But 401ks and saving and retirement and adulting, it's really hard.
That's why you have stock options.
I'm supposed to get stock options, too?
I'm at crackers.
All right. Let's travel around the world and do some rapid-fire news. Again, we're going to do kind of a shorter, just one-segment show tonight.
I'm not used to this layout.
What? The one-half show? Where there's
to Loki's thing, and now it's gone.
What Loki's thing? It's gone.
No.
What are you talking about over there?
You're skipping things.
No, I'm not.
You're skipping to release dates.
I'm not doing release dates. I'm doing rapid-fire news.
Oh, whatever.
Can you read Dark Saga?
No.
Hey, let's talk about Final Fantasy 15's latest patch.
No.
Yes, the 1.03 patch hit this past week, which adds New Game Plus to the game. Why? I don't know. New Game Plus. You can go through and play it again at the level you left off at, if that's what you want to do. I guess it would make it easier for you to hit level 99 if that's, you know, what you want to do. Anyway, it's a 3.2 gigabyte update and contains that as well as the holiday pack, which I did also actually buy this week. Well, I got the season pass so that you got the holiday plus. And those are some really helpful items that you get with that to gain AP. So it is a little shitty that it's in a pack that's for sale. Although I think one of the items is in the free pack. So there's something that. So anyway. Let's see. So the other stuff that's in this patch, outfits, more photo borders and more photos. The Ascension grid is all unlocked and all that. That's in a New Game Plus. But you get all these little updates in the patch that came out this week. Also, more information on Final Fantasy's 30-year celebration. It will be kicking off on January 31st. That is Final Fantasy VII's 20th anniversary. We may already know the plans for that if we are to believe rumors and things that was talked about a couple weeks ago here on the show. But we'll get the official unveil of the Final Fantasy 30th anniversary plans on January 31st. That's not too far away. Anyway, they'll be holding this unveil at Toho Cinemas in Tokyo. There will be guests and multiple talks, and a raffle is being held for 200 Square Enix members to attend. So if you are in Japan and you want to go nearby Tokyo where this is being held, you should check that out. Dark Soccer, how about you for Rapid Fire News?
Stuff. Well, H2 Interactive is bringing out a new Kunio game. We're getting River City Melee Battle Royal Special, which in Japan was Downtown Rantou Kyoshin Kyoku, Kachinuki Kakuto SP. I can't read. Actually, I can't. I'm blurry. Anyway, so they are, it's actually being localized by the developers for Blaze Blue. So we're going to see a fun little game come out. And in Japan, it's out actually probably today now, December 26th, as it likely is in Japan. And hopefully we'll be getting it out soon over here in the U.S. Because if there's a game series my hubs like, it's the Kunio games. And Utada Hikaru, yay! We'll be working on some Kingdom Hearts 3 music. Way!
That's exciting.
So that means that we will have her for Kingdom Hearts 3. Because apparently Square can count to 3 and beyond.
Well, nothing's confirmed until, you know, we get a game on the shelf.
Yes.
Anyway, VidPower in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, speaking on the Kunio game, saying Kunio games are so underappreciated. I agree with that. I think it'll be nice to have a modern Kunio game that still has that retro flair. Excited about that. Now let's travel around the world. I guess for some reason, it's probably because of liquor, I said travel around the world with rapid fire news, and that's what confused people. So now that we traveled around the world once, let's do it again and talk about release dates. Are you able to do the U.S. ones, Dark Sakura?
I don't see jack shit coming out.
Yeah, probably this week. There probably isn't a lot coming out. I kind of feel like this is going to be the theme this week is, you know, there's, you know, we just had a major holiday. So I don't think there's a lot coming out. Let's look at Japan, though. Japan, no, there's some cables and peripherals that are out, but I don't see any games that are actually releasing this week. Checking the DS just to be sure. No, there's some new, like peripherals and bags and cords and things like that. But as far as games go, it's also dry in Japan this week. Yeah. And honestly, for the next couple weeks into January, probably going to be the same thing.
We have one in Europe.
One game in Europe.
December 31st, Dovetail Gamers Euro Fishing for Xbox One. So nothing exciting.
Well, hooray for you fishing game fans out there.
Oh, good. Feast!
My least favorite thing to do in Final Fantasy 15. The reason why I won't Platinum 15. Because it's going to make me fucking fish. All right. How about the mailbag then?
Fuck me. There's a bunch in here.
Yeah, we got a lot of emails this week. Well, I begged people to email us last week, and I think it happened
this
week.
Why did you do a dumb thing like that?
Because I love you. Every week you email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Dark Sakura very happily and appreciatively dives into the mailbag and reads her favorite emails here on the show.
One from Fifth Dream. I exist or something.
Oh, yes. Do you remember last week I said people should email us and just tell us they exist? So you probably have a lot of those emails tonight. Thank you for existing, Fifth Dream. We appreciate you.
One comes from Jose. Merry Christmas, OLR, or whatever holiday you celebrate. I'm glad Dark Sakura is feeling well. My question this week is, do you think free-to-play freemium games need to end quick? And do you think those types of games are bittering the perspective on mobile gaming in general? Thanks again for being awesome, guys. Keep on working on your game, Loki. I'll try to write soon if I'm not busy with the holidays. Take care. Signed, Jose.
Complicated question. I don't think these games are going anywhere. They're, you know, free is too good of a deal to pass up. And I think it's really weaved itself into the mobile marketplace for better or for worse. And there's going to be free games that are engrossing for a very long time for some people. Some people like to play, like what, I caught Alan playing Bejeweled Stars or whatever that is that's out. I caught him playing that. I know Dark Sakura plays some of these games. I play Ingress and Pokemon Go. Those are free-to-play games, essentially. So I think there is a marketplace for them. I mean, I've played a lot of those games that I just named, Ingress and Pokemon Go, and those are just two of several mobile games I've tried over the years that were free-to-play that weren't necessarily bad. Did it skew things too much on the mobile platform? Maybe, especially when we talk about something like Super Mario Run. But it's part of the reason why I said, you know what, Super Mario Run, they should have just charged $10 in the store. I understand why they didn't do that. They wouldn't be able to brag about 40 million downloads or whatever they're saying this week if they hadn't set that price as free in the store. But I think I think it set some people's expectations in a weird place. And I kind of think they should have just charged $10 out the gate. But I don't think free-to-play games is going to go anywhere, and I don't think free-to-play means necessarily bad. It just depends on how much are you going to nickel and dime your audience. You know, go ahead.
The really crap thing about it, though, is that it prevents people who have a family sharing plan to use said family sharing.
Yeah. And I know that's a kind of a thing about Super Mario Run as well. But like a game like Ingress, for example, you can play very well and very thoroughly without ever spending a dime. You know what I mean?
I don't think I did.
You don't think you ever did spend a dime, or you don't think you played well? It was funny. Come on, it was funny. Anyway.
I'm trying to catch this Nidoran.
Oh, there's always a million Nidorans here.
But I need a couple more to get a Nidoqueen.
I think our Pikachu spawns here got replaced with stupid Nidorans. So it's all I ever see here at the house anymore.
I don't mind right now.
All right, well, but we got to get to the next email, so...
Oh, fine.
Put your balls down, Dark Sakura, read the next email.
I just fed you my balls. Oh, sorry, wrong balls. Anyway, the next email comes from Robert M. Felison Kristnakon. Sorry. It is Esperanto. So thank you, because I had asked for some Esperanto.
Oh, look at you with your Esperanto.
Just wondering about a prominent iOS app. Super Mario Run has its unlock through an in-app purchase, but I can't find a restore purchases button. If heavens forbid my iPod were to be reformatted again, or I want to download my game on iPad or iPhone on my Apple ID, would I need to have set up a My Nintendo account specifically for the unlock? I haven't really contacted any developer or forum about this yet. I'm generally enjoying the game, but more Wi-Fi time is going to other apps, admittedly. Robert M. I will tell you that my hubby tried to he did link his My Nintendo account to it. And as it turned out, it did have a restore purchase on there. But I don't think it restored his progress. So
it's just the purchase.
Yeah, just the purchase.
And you have to have the Nintendo account linked. And it, by the way, it tells you that in the very beginning. You might have clicked through it, as a lot of people do in the very opening screens. But I did think that was curious that it actually said, if you want to be able to restore your purchase later, you need to have this on a My Nintendo account.
They did the same thing with Miitomo, actually.
So now my question is, I don't know the answer to this. I'm sorry. Can Robert M was the emailer, right?
Yeah.
Can Robert M do this after the fact? Now that he's bought the game, can he now assign a My Nintendo to it? Will it work? Or now is he screwed because he bought the game without that association? That I don't know, sir. I'm sorry to say. So I would try associating it with a My Nintendo account at this point. Just to save yourself if something does happen to your phone. Let's hope not. But hopefully, cross fingers, knock on wood, by the time your phone breaks, you won't care if you lose the game. Hopefully. That's it.
Okay. Hey, gang. First, a song, and there's a link. It's Loss of Me from Final Fantasy IX. We're not going to play it, sorry. In the hype surrounding Final Fantasy XV, you guys compared it to other mainline Final Fantasy titles. I mentioned all of them except for one of the titles I hold most dear, Final Fantasy IX, which for me is my second place game in the series, the first being X. It is an amazing game, not only for the music and battles, but for the story the game tells and the antagonists that conspire against you. No, really, I've never been more upset at a villain in any other game than the horrific acts committed by Kuja and those that follow him. The story does a crazy good job building up hope and affection toward the characters of the world before you watch their tales quickly become tragic. It's not all doom and gloom as you watch the main cast come into their roles quite nicely. Even Steiner, who I couldn't stand at the start of the game, really grew on me. Thoughts? Sincerely, Osfer.
I appreciate Final Fantasy IX. I wouldn't say I love it the way I love 4 and 6 and some of the other games. But again, and I even said this last week, the only Final Fantasy game I can't play and I don't like playing is 8. And I know that's a controversial statement, and some of you hate me for it, but sit on that and deal with it for a minute, because I just cannot stand that junction system and the draw and all that stuff. Otherwise, the story in 8 is even fine. I'll watch somebody else play 8, maybe.
There's a PS.
Oh, what's that?
Rob, please finish Undertale. I really want to hear your thoughts on the game. Frown.
I'll do my... There's so many games to play. So many.
I contributed.
So many games. I know you did. But anyway, as far as Final Fantasy IX goes, it's a good game. And you know why 9 was important is because people were a little turned off by the sci-fi-ness of 7 and even 8 a little bit. So 9, I remember when it came out, was kind of like a return to form for Final Fantasy. Like, you know, you had a black mage who looked like the black mage from Final Fantasy 1, right? That was a big thing in Final Fantasy 9. So I would actually love to see, and I think I even tweeted something about this, I would love to see that Final Fantasy 16 is something like Final Fantasy IX in 15's engine. I would love that. But we'll see. I'm not going to hold my breath. Here's the other thing, though, I wanted to say to Osfer, the emailer. I would be curious, how old were you when Final Fantasy IX came out? You know why? Because I think it was Bobby who said this, and I don't know if he stole it from somewhere else or if he came up with it on his own. But he once said that, like, your favorite Final Fantasy game is the one that came out when you were 12. And so I'm wondering if Final Fantasy IX came out, because I know Osfer is a little younger than me, who was 12 when Final Fantasy II and III America, 4 and 6 for everybody else, came out. Because I was 12 when Final Fantasy II, 4, whatever you want to call it, when that game came out, And that's probably why it's one of my favorites. I remember having such an emotional connection to
that
game.
Actually, I think that for me, it was the first U.S. Final Fantasy. But it's not my favorite.
Well, it's not your favorite.
It's not my favorite. I love 3, the Japanese 3 a lot.
Uh-huh.
I love 5.
Yeah.
But 6 was the one. Actually, I really have a hard time comparing them because each of them are their own contained stories. And it's hard for me to like one more than the other, but I did sink more time into 6. So,
well, and then some of the chatters are saying it's not exactly right, and da da da.
And I'll also say that I like Chrono Trigger better than the whole series,
which would be wrong. No, I'm just kidding. But here's the thing: even if it's not exactly 12, it's around 12. You know what I mean? You still picked one of the earlier games. You know what I mean? So
I was in high school.
Anyway, this is. I would just be curious. Was Ossifer 12 years old when Final Fantasy IX came out?
Well, he didn't say so.
I would think, how old is Ossifer? I don't even know if I know off the top of my head, but I think
I pretended to have the flu for a whole week so I could play it.
I think Ossifer's in his mid to low 20s, so I'm trying to do the math in my head. That'd be about the...
So next email.
Oh, yeah, next email.
Comes from Claire, and it's just, smile, hugs, smile. And a picture of a dragon with an ornament, a star on top.
Oh, I saw that picture in the email. Now my question is, did the emailer draw that?
I don't know, but if you did, nice talent.
Yeah, if you drew that and you were just emailing it to us to show off, then kudos to you. You're a good artist.
All right.
If you just stole it from DeviantArt, then all right, that's cool. Thanks for the wishes, if nothing else.
Hello, Sky, Dark Sakura, and Loki.
Hi.
Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, all of the season's greetings. Martin the Belgian here. I love that you're Martin the Belgian. Thanks so much for doing a show on Christmas. This will give me something to listen to while recovering from my food coma tomorrow and spending the holidays playing games and trying to resist the sales on Steam and GOG. I am trying not to buy games I will never play, but it is hard. I am home in Belgium for the holidays, the home of wonderful chocolate and Stroop waffles. A long time ago, I promised to send you some Belgian chocolate, but you never sent me an address I can send it to.
Oops.
Being home now, I am stocking up, so I would love to thank you for the wonderful show you do each week with some chocolate. If you send me an address, I will. Hope you're all enjoying a nice break with some great games. Hugs from Belgium, Martin. I will send you my address right now.
I'm happy to do that.
And I want waffles.
I'm happy to do that. However, if I remember right, he relocated to Atlanta, if I remember an early email correct. As a reminder, I will be in Atlanta again in 2017 over Labor Day weekend for Dragon Con 2017. I would like to enjoy these fine chocolates in person while I'm drinking Stroop waffle, which, by the way, this is fucking happening at Dragon Con.
But I want some
Brad
too.
From Pop Culture, are you listening? Then you need to fucking come to Dragon Con.
Bitch, I don't have money.
You got money for Stroop waffle.
They were $1.
Put the Stroop waffle money away every week until Labor Day, and then you can do.
I also can't get off work.
Stroop waffle. Brad from Pod Culture.
Sending in my address.
Stroop waffle, the new official drink of Dragon Con. Although I don't know, Brad from Pod Culture is a big fan of Fireball. Maybe we can mix them. Do you think Stroop ball, fire waffle?
Don't like Fireball.
I like Fireball. Well, fire waffle.
I'm sending in my address right now.
Okay. All right. Is that it for emails?
I think. I'm just sending in my address right now.
You can't.
Make
can't
up some time. Talk about Stroop waffles some more.
I don't have time. All right. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Brad from Pop Culture says cinnamon and waffles. See, it sounds pretty good, doesn't it, when I mention it like that? Some folks talking about age in Final Fantasy. Ragenator in chat says, I got Final Fantasy 1 on the NES when it first came out, and I was 13 at the time. Not my favorite. 7, I got day 1 and loved it. I was 20 when 7 came out. Okay, everybody wants to break the fucking theory. All right, fine. The theory does not, like most theories, it doesn't hold true 100% of the time. So I don't know what to tell you. All right, anyway. Let's see. Other comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Rama says,
that was the last email, by the way.
Rama says Final Fantasy IX was a complete throwback to Final Fantasy I. Yeah, that's probably why it was popular. And then everybody's complaining that the stream died, which it does look like we had a little server hiccup, which another Christmas thing out of my control. What can I do?
You know what, Rob?
What?
An important thing happened ages ago.
What's that?
A person who was born that would change the world for the better.
Freddie Mercury?
Isaac Newton.
Oh, okay.
I had to quote Neil deGrasse Tyson. On this day long ago, a child was born who by age 30 would transform the world. Happy birthday, Isaac Newton, born December 25th, 1642.
No, you know what? You know what? That whole gravity thing, that kind of, the gravity sucks sometimes. I just want you to know. So you know
gravity
what?
Gravity is what gives plastic surgeons a job.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase arrow.
That's it for the mailbag. We are going to take calls here in just a moment. We're going to open up the holiday Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, so get ready. But ho-ho, hold your calls for just a moment, because we got two more stories for you. Dark Sakura.
For girls in the 80s.
Dark Sakura?
Fake plastic trees are stuck in my head
now. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good song.
Pokemon Go is doing some shit. That's a fun little holiday adventure going
on. Did you hack
on.
Your Pokestop and get your incubator for the day?
No.
That's a thing. If you hack a Pokestop, now you get an incubator
I
once a day.
I did hack it, but I didn't get an incubator.
Did you do it this today on the 25th? Well, then you need to write. You probably got one. You just didn't realize it.
After I already bought one.
Oops.
Anyway, it'll be a lot easier to get the Gen 2 Pokemon and the Kanto starters. So from the morning of December 25th to January 3rd, Pokestops will award one single-use incubator, like you said, each day after your first photo disc spin. Photo disc spin?
Does that mean maybe it doesn't work through the Pogo Plus, maybe? You have to actually have the app open?
Oh, yeah. I'm only using the app anyway. And there's also a higher chance of earning eggs that will hatch into the new gold and silver babies like Pichu and Togepi. And, of course, you get the Santa, Pikachu, and I caught a Santa Raichu.
Congrats. Yeah, I heard the Santa Raichus are out there in the wild, too.
And then from the afternoon of December 30th through the afternoon of January 8th, lure modules will last a full hour, which is twice as long as normal. And the Kanto region starters and their evolved forms will be made more common, adding Charizard, Blastoise, and Venusaur.
When does that start?
A lot easier.
When does the second half of that start? The 28th, you said? Or
December 30th.
Oh,
through January 8th.
So we still got some time.
I'm going to get a Venusaur.
Yeah, I know. I need those starters. That's a great event.
I'm
going to
get a Charizard.
Even though those incubators are single use only, it really needed it. The game really needed them with the way they're rolling out these new Pokemon. So I think that was a great little incentive for people. So good job.
Yes. My wine's wearing off, Rob.
Can I? We go get more. There's still some in the bottle. The other thing I want to ask you about, though, Dark Sakura, did you know the app for Apple Watch came out a couple days ago?
Yes, I did. And I kept hearing that it wasn't going to work on the first-gen watches, and I couldn't get it to run.
Really?
And then I don't know what happened, but I got a notification, and suddenly it was working.
Oh. Well, that's good, right?
Yeah, but there's some people with the first-gen Apple Watch that it's just not working for.
Huh.
And so I've just been, you know, trying to leave feedback and whatnot to see, but it finally came through on mine, but it wasn't working fully properly. I like that it's more of an exercise tracker.
Yeah.
And it'll get
you get the egg credit, at least, if nothing else. That's the best part about the Plus, is that
you get the egg credit. Yeah, but the big bad thing, though, is that it will drain both batteries.
Ooh,
so I only have it on when I know I'm going to be doing some walking. Hmm. And usually, if I've got the walking, I've got the app open on my phone anyway. So
yeah. Well, it's the same thing with the Plus. You still have to have the app running on your phone, and it will drain your phone a little bit, but not nearly as bad as like running the entire app.
Yeah.
So there is that. Anyway. All right. Well, speaking of Pokemon, I have one more story for you guys that has to do with Pokemon. It has to do with a ROM hack that got shut down by Nintendo, the Grinches that stole Christmas. That's right. There was a fan-made Pokemon ROM hack in the work. It has been in the works for 8 years. It was called Pokemon Prism, and it was being made off of Pokemon Gold. So it was a ROM hack to do an entirely new adventure. And apparently, though, a Nintendo law firm in Australia, because I guess that's where this was being hosted or whatever, sent the cease and desist, and the guy put the letter up on Google Drive and said that basically Nintendo was shutting this down, as they did with Metroid 2 Return of Samus, as they did with other Nintendo Pokemon Uranium and all this stuff this year. So, yep, no news if this will ever come out. I don't know if he's going to turn to the dark side or what have you of torrents and all that to get that out there. But for right now, it doesn't sound like this is ever going to come out. So that's sad. At least the guy made the game for himself, nothing else. Yeah, Tiger Claw in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, I'm sure downloads of this are out in the wild. Yes, I'm sure that is very true. And once it's on the internet, always on the internet. You know how that goes. Speaking of on the internet, it's time for you guys to give us a call if you'd like. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. I know it's a little early tonight, but we are doing a little bit of a shorter show. So that way, Darsaka and myself can enjoy what we thought would be Chinese food on Christmas, but it turns out it's going to be sushi on Christmas because the sushi joint nearby is open today.
Had ramen last night, too. That was funny.
Oh, do you want to try to find something else? We can do...
We could do that. There's also a Korean barbecue open.
Oh, the big one over...
Not Oz. There's the YD Tofu House and another tofu house down the...
Oh, interesting.
Down the way. But we can do either. I'm fine with
it. We'll see. All right. Well, our phone lines are lighting up at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, everyone. It's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma. How you doing?
Pretty good. If it makes y'all feel any better, I'm eating Chinese food here. I'll eat on your behalf.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We'll drink on your behalf.
Well, that's okay. I have a nice can of beer right here, too. So.
You know what you don't have?
What?
Stroop waffle.
But you know what I will have in 2 weeks?
Me.
Stroop waffle.
I think Sky's a little bit better than Stroop waffle.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting that you're actually going to...
Take some Stroopwafel with you.
I know, right? I keep forgetting that you're actually going to MAGFest this year. I'm so excited. So we get to hang.
Hang, drink. What's the difference?
I know. I'm excited. We're going to have a good time.
That makes two of us. I'm still putting together my list of cosplays I'm going to do.
Any hints for us?
Well, I will say this much. One of the characters I am cosplaying from... is a character from a fighting game that was covered by Dark Sakura.
What?
All right. Yep. Little show trivia with that. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what's on your mind tonight? What did you call us for? Did you just call to talk about MAGFest or something else on your mind?
That too, and also I just spent the last 6 hours putting together my Christmas gift. I rebuilt and redid my entire computer.
Wow, okay. Yeah, I saw you doing some of this stuff on Facebook.
Yeah, I was doing a live stream because I couldn't get it to work on Twitch. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do the stream and do this. You know, I got it up and running finally. So everything is working great.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What are you going to do with this new computer? Is it something for like more streaming stuff? Like, I know you guys took over the feed yesterday and we're doing the holiday music, which thanks for that. Got a lot of love on Facebook. Are you going to do more things like that or no, this is just the game?
The funny thing is everyone asks me games and stuff like that, but no, multimedia. I just rebuilt my machine so that I can do better audio podcasting and video editing and get stuff up onto our site and then play some games because Steam took $21 from me the other day.
Ah, I know how that goes. Yes. But also, I think when you talk about the whole like more oomph in video editing and audio editing, like that was actually a big incentive in updating my own computer is that when the show's done here on the studio computer, I'll drop the files in Dropbox, which is harder now that Dropbox doesn't support XP, but I just do it through the website. And then I take them to my other computer and, you know, because editing 3 hours of MP3s, and you know this from Anime Jam Session, those files can get pretty big. So they can be really slow to convert and save sometimes, but on the newer computer I have, blazing fast.
Exactly.
Maybe like 7 minutes to convert the whole show, which is fast. For like a 3-hour show, that's fast.
Well, let's see. Our Drunken Podcast show, which was a little bit over 2 hours, I re-edited it and rendered it in under 2 minutes.
Nice. Wow, that's really good. Keep in mind, I save in multiple formats, and I think that's part of the reason why it takes me a little longer.
Probably so. Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, I save one for VOG, and then I save one for the podcast feed, because I figure it's a lot of space on somebody's iPhone, because one episode of OLR is like, what, 80 megabytes, I think, podcast-sized? So, no, maybe less. Maybe it's like 60. I don't remember now. but it's like 100 megs on VOG. So, but now everybody streams them. Like, I shouldn't have to worry about that anymore because everybody streams it now. That's the big thing people do. So,
I only do one. I do the save for VOG upload, and then I just go back and just drop in the edit for the RSS feed and call it a day, you know.
I think a lot of our shows do that, but it's one of those things where the particular quality of OLR I kind of set a long time ago before there was even VOG, before there was even All Games. So it's kind of one of those I've just never really deviated from that. Not to say I never will, but I haven't been convinced otherwise by anybody. None of the listeners have complained about the quality or the file size or the format of the show. So it's par for the course for now.
Sounds like a plan.
Yep. All right. Anything else on your mind, my friend?
Oh, yeah. I was trying to call in about last week about MAGFest. You were complaining about food places and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you hear the news?
No.
There's a casino right up the street.
Really? They built a casino out there now?
Yes. It opened up about a week and a half ago.
Oh, shoot. So there's probably a ton of food options in there, huh?
An MGM Grand Casino.
Holy crap, that's going to be a pretty big deal. Well, that's great. So they'll have food options, and I hope they're ready for all those people.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, it would still be great if they could just get oodles and oodles of food trucks to come out there, and especially if it's not going to be, like, horrific snow and all this stuff. It's going to be 50 degrees out there. That sounds awesome. I'm very, very happy to hear that. Hopefully the weather stays the same, knock on wood. So
I know, because I was saying yesterday, this time last year, yesterday it was 66 degrees, and I'm walking around, it's like 52.
Hmm. Well, that's warmer than it is in California right now, so I'll take it.
By all means, you can have it.
All right. It snowed in SoCal today, if you can believe it. Granted, on the Grapevine, where it's a higher elevation, but still, you don't hear about that every day. Anyway. All right, Rom, I'm going to let you go to get more calls.
All right, take care, bro.
Take care, my friend. See you in a couple weeks.
You got it. And bye, Ukchon.
Bye, Ronchon.
And Stroop Waffle.
Stroop Waffle.
Okay. You know what? The Stroop Waffle people need to pay us in Stroop Waffle.
Well, at least the Stroop Waffle booze. Like, I mean, I like the actual waffles, though.
It's like free advertising for them left and right today. Just like Pinkberry. How come we never got free Pinkberry out of this show?
Pinkberry, like do know. It.
Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Raginator.
Hey, Raginator. What's on your mind, buddy?
Not a whole lot. Well, since this is the last show of the year, I kind of figure I ask the three, the two of you, what is your favorite game that you got this year? Doesn't necessarily have to come out this year, so long as you buy it this year and play it this year.
Oh, Raginator, you might be dipping into a topic if we do a show in the next week. This is something that would be a prime topic for that show, would be what is the game of the year. But taking Raginator's little twist on it, what is the best game that you got this year? Do you think you have an answer for that? Dark Soccer, what's the best game that you got this year?
Well, I haven't played him yet.
Then it doesn't count.
No, I actually really liked the new WoW expansion, and I'm still playing it.
Okay.
I bought it for myself, so I got it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been playing Danganronpa and Danganronpa 2, which I just started this year. So both of them are great. All of them are great. I don't think I've played anything that sucks balls this year.
Don't confuse this with my game of the year, but I would actually probably answer Final Fantasy 15, just because you guys know what crazy gamer ADD I have, and the fact that I actually played that game start to finish, I think, says a lot. And that was a game I knew I was going to buy and bought. And so, yeah, I think to answer your question the way you asked it, I think I would say Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, cool.
What about you?
Well, it's kind of hard to answer you fully because I just started playing the game, but I just recently got myself Transformers Devastation, which is pretty much just as a refresher to everyone that's listening. It's basically a love letter to all those that grew up watching the Generation 1 cartoon from the 80s. And, oh my God, is it amazing. I practically had a nerdgasm as soon as I loaded the game up. I swear to God, I probably like this game more than I like Magic 2014.
What? That's quite an endorsement. Don't go overboard.
I know. Shock and awe. What the hell happened to Regenerator? What did you do with them? But yeah, it's pretty good. And now, normally it's a $40 game, but you know, in fact, I picked it up when it was on sale. I paid $10 for it. I can't figure what the hell. I can't pass that up. So it might still be on sale now that the Christmas sale is going on. So if you're a fan of the Transformers games or the Transformers franchise, do yourself a favor, pick it up. Especially if it's on sale for cheap.
Well, guys, you're just pointing out it was free on PlayStation Network. So if you didn't get it there, I mean, it's free. Free's a pretty good deal.
Oh, definitely. Well, I'm probably gonna let you go.
Okay.
I would imagine a lot of other people are calling for this show. So have a nice night.
Thank you too. Have a good holiday. Take care.
Yep. You too.
All right, bye. And, think about it. All these people that are calling us tonight and participating with the show, like, they're here on what is traditionally a pretty busy day for a lot of people. So thank you for being here tonight, everybody.
Hearts and love and hearts.
And those of you on the podcast feed as well. Don't get me wrong. I still have a lot of love for you guys as well. But anyway, we got another call coming in. Let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
This is Brad from Pod Culture.
Hey, my friend. How are you?
Not Stroop waffling, that's for sure.
Well, that's unfortunate. We'll have to fix that. Did you know, by the way, Brad from Pod Culture, that your Skype icon is a lesbian?
Yeah.
Okay, checking.
Still doesn't change the fact she's my favorite player in the game.
Amen to that. Doesn't change a goddamn thing. That is absolutely right.
She's my favorite character in the game.
The freeze ray.
It's Trace. Tracer is the icon for Brad. May is the one you're thinking of.
That's who I was using and really liked.
Yeah, May's cool.
I actually play Pharah a lot.
Yeah, I love Pharah. Pharah's the one I play pretty much because it's just rocket launchers everywhere.
I like
Diva. But I really like Symmetra as well. And I like Junkrat, since I know we're naming a lot of ladies, but there's some love for some of the boys, too. I like Junkrat as well. So.
I just found something
wonderful. You got to know Junkrat and Roadhog are a couple.
That seems to be the next thing. Yeah, that Junkrat and Roadhog are going to end up being a couple. We'll see. Anyway, Brad, what'd you call in for tonight?
Oh, just calling in that, tying into what Rage-Nator was saying, I got to be surprised. My favorite game of the year that I got was Overwatch.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of love out there for Overwatch. And again, I want to stress, the way I answered Ragenator's question is not the same way I would answer what is the best game of 2016, but we'll get into that possibly later. But anyway, what made you say Overwatch?
It's just a lot of fun. It appeals to my gamer ADD. You just jump in, play for a while, jump back out. The only frustrating thing is those damn loot boxes.
Did you get the 5 free ones for the holiday? Which, by the way, Overwatch players, if you didn't already check that out, they gave out 5 free loot boxes for the holiday. I opened up 5 on PlayStation 4 and 5 on PC, and you know what I got? Jack shit. I didn't get anything useful. I got sprays, voice lines I don't like, nothing. Yeah, I didn't get any skins.
I get all kinds of shit for characters I don't care about.
Exactly. All I wanted just like a Christmas skin for somebody, at least during the summer games event. At least I got Lucio's summer games outfit, which was awesome because I actually play Lucio quite a bit, so that was really cool to have. I actually had a lot of luck with Lucio skins because I have his gold frog DJ thing too, which is awesome. So
I got Yeti Winston.
Oh, that's cool. I just don't play Winston a lot. I guess if I play any tank, I usually play Winston. But I'm starting to get used to Reinhardt a little more, too. And Reinhardt's a really effective tank, so it's hard to not play Reinhardt.
Yeah, I've been playing that, and then I got been trying the new update to No Man's Sky on PS4.
Oh, yeah. What do you think of No Man's Sky, especially post-update and the whole base building and all that now?
It's still a very zen game.
Yeah, it is.
It's a good one to chill out to.
But it's nice that you can build the base on your planet, so now you can like go back and stuff and do all that. So it's, I'd like to hear more about what they have planned for the future, but I guess this is the way it is now. We're just going to get the updates when they come out, and they're not going to talk on Twitter because people on Twitter are mean.
I think you can get it for like $20 now. So it's definitely a $20 game.
Yeah, I was just telling somebody else this earlier today. We were talking about, because he mentioned that he's getting a PlayStation 4 soon and finally like catching up and getting on that band, or at least as, like he says, finally catching up. But I'm kind of like, there's a lot of people that are still on PS3 and, you know, not everybody can afford to get the newest gaming tech. But anyway, he said he's getting it. And I said, he was kind of asking about No Man's Sky. We were talking about the controversy a little bit, and I talked about how the controversy didn't really bug me with No Man's Sky because my expectations were low. I didn't buy into all the hype about the game in the first place, so when I played the game, I was fine. And I said, you know what? Now that it's a $20 game especially, it's a great deal at $20.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very definitely.
So just don't expect to actually do multiplayer or anything like that, and you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, Brad, anything else you want to share with us before we let you go?
No. If I had some Fireball in the studio, I'd do a shot with you. But unfortunately, I'm tapped at the moment.
Well, I appreciate that. And you
have you been tappered?
Only if you ask nicely.
A happy holidays to you and everybody over there helping you out with pod culture.
All right. Same to you guys.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Let's see if anybody else tries to call in. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to do it the old-fashioned way, you can as well, 1-877-GAME-OLR, but I don't think we've had a call on that line in a very long time. But Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. We'll give it a few minutes, but if nobody else calls in, then that will be a show. Dark Sakura, any last-minute stories or things you want to bring up with our audience before we pull the plug on tonight's show, if we don't get any calls here?
Christmas is really a pagan holiday.
You're going to educate the listeners tonight?
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
Basically, if you don't already know, and I've explained it a bajillion times, all of these traditions, with the exception of the Jesus stuff, all came from pagan winter holidays. They did not have decorated fir trees in Bethlehem. So, just saying, know your history.
I feel like you're a living Tumblr post right now.
Well, yeah, Tumblr was made for people like me. And Dick.
One last call. Orange Lounge Radio on Skype or 1-877-GAME-OLR. Some folks in chat. Bob Coffee just stumbled into chat saying, oh, forgot OLR was on tonight. Yep. Well, the good news is this will be on the podcast
feed. You came
feed.
In time to hear me talk about Dick.
So there you go. And you're not even as drunk as you were at the beginning of the show. And I never did finish this glass of wine. Freaking Stroopwafel.
Oh my god. Rob.
What?
Rob.
You sound like a broken car or something, but what? Now you sound like a... I'm finishing off this one. Hold on. Please understand that there will be silence for a moment here.
Not really, because I'm going to sing. We need
to do... No singing. I will mute the mics for their singing.
We need to do the Careless Whisper saxophone line on repeat in honor of our departed.
Can we do the sax line from Carly Rae Jepsen's Runaway with Me?
No.
Why not? Carly Slay?
Because we, George Michael.
This is the day of our Lord, Carly Slay Jesupson. Come on. Anyway.
I quit for the year.
All right. Nobody's calling in, so I guess we are definitely done. And I chugged the rest of the wine. Thank you very much.
And I'm sorry for my poor taste earlier. Actually, I'm only vaguely sorry for it because it was pretty funny.
All right. So anyway, there it is. And she did have a little bit to drink, so she was a little unhinged, y'all. But thank you for tolerating us for 2 hours tonight. I told y'all at the very beginning, I said, if this is your first OLR, maybe you should go listen to a different episode to start, because tonight's going to be a little crazy. But I hope you guys in our chat and the fans that have been listening for over 670 episodes, I hope you enjoyed our show full of holiday cheer, shall we say. Liquid holiday cheer. I hope you all enjoyed that in our chat and out there in podcast world. We're going to wrap up, but we will be back in 3 weeks live with an all-new Orange Lounge Radio. January 15th will be the next live Orange Lounge Radio. But you guys, 670 back episodes that you can catch up on. We'll see if we can put out something that is taped in advance as well. That's still going to try to do that. But again, I try very hard not to overpromise and underdeliver. So expect no show. And if there's a show that pops in on the podcast feed, then hooray. Right? That's how we work. Right, Dark Sakura?
Yes.
Expect nothing.
You know what, though?
Maybe we'll surprise you.
I wish everyone warmth and love and kitty kisses.
Yes, lots of kitty kisses. Is your final thought? Well, let me just quickly do my line about the plugging the show.
Do it.
So thank you for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. If you enjoyed what you heard here at the show tonight, please tell a friend or five or 25 about the show, or 12 apostles. Tell them about the show and help spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here, we can't share them. So we don't ask for your money.
We only have them in our head.
We don't ask for any of that. So we just ask for word of mouth and a nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes, Google Play Podcast, or wherever you found this, goes a very long
way. Unless
you
have 10 available, then do 10.
Then do 10 out of 10. A pluses.
Maximums.
Yes, maximum. Maximum ratings. Now let's do everybody's final thought. I'll do my sappy final thought first, then you can do yours.
Okay.
My final thought is that, you know, Christmas is a time that you spend with family a lot of times, right? So I just really appreciate you guys showing up. You guys are like a family. Aww, aww. But no, I mean, part of what motivates us to do this show every Sunday, when we know there's not 5,000 people listening to this show. We know we're not some huge podcast that matters out there, even though we are the oldest. We know that all that stuff. But we still do this show because even though we have a small audience, y'all are a faithful audience. You're a loyal audience. You're a family here. And that's why we love you guys and why we're crazy enough to do a show on Christmas. So thank you very much, and I hope you do have a great holiday. When I say holiday, that not just encompasses everything that whatever it is you celebrate this time of year, but also New Year's. Be safe. Have a safe New Year's celebration. Don't do anything stupid like drink and drive. Don't be fucking stupid. Be safe. Have fun. And let us all hope that 2017 fucking stops killing people. Except like Kirk Douglas. That's, you know, again, he's 100. You guys, he's 100. But 2017 needs to not kill celebrities at the rate that 2016 has been doing. And a lot of great games. And let's hope the Nintendo Switch, you guys, you know what would be the awesome way to start to that 2017? For Loki to walk in here on January 15th and go, I pre-ordered a Switch. Y'all know you want to hear it. Y'all know you want to hear it. So let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that that happens in a couple weeks. Dark Sakura, any final thoughts? Thank you. I am reading chat, by the way, and thank you very much for the very kind words. Dark Sakura, your final thought tonight.
I love you guys, but not in that way. I think that you are all mostly wonderful people, and thank you for listening to us, and thank you for putting up with me, and thank you for all of the wonderful things that you have sent us, folks who have sent us stuff. The rest of you, we're waiting.
Stop it.
I'm kidding.
You can send us a 5-star review. That will be plenty fine.
You could send me a gift certificate to Sephora. Actually, Dan got me a gift certificate for Sephora.
Then the listeners don't need to. You can send us Stroop Waffle.
Stroop Waffle. Send us Stroop Waffle. The liquor. And the real things. Crunch, crunch. But no, seriously, without you guys, we would not have been... Well, I don't know. We might be stubborn, but we don't know that because of you guys. So thank you for being encouragement. And sometimes diva fit.
Hey now.
Reactionary.
It's Christmas. Be nice.
I am being nice. I'm always nice. I am nice. I was born ready. Action.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Don't think I don't know. Don't think I don't know.
My cousin-in-law got a new bike. And Dan's response, say, that's a nice bike. Anyway.
It's not a Christmas movie, but it ought to be.
Anyway, all of you are rad in your own individual, unique way. Sometimes I come across, I think, a little bit harsh, but it's all out of love and getting people to fucking think for themselves. You guys are all free thinkers. Continue to be free thinkers. Continue to resist through the next year. And talk to you then.
Or enlighten if you play Ingress. Please don't resist. Enlighten. Just saying. There are certain boundaries I have to draw with that line. Little boundaries, that's all. All right. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much. What?
Oh, my God.
What?
You.
Me? What? What do you do?
Why?
Because you love me.
You're still wearing that pink one.
And that's how, because it's awesome. And this is why you've put up with me for going on 15 years.
Rob, I will put up with you for another 15. And then it will expire and I'm done. You're kidding. Kid, well, kid, I will put up with you when you're old and gray.
We will. I'm already old and gray, year. Bitch. All right. We will see you at the quinceañera.
I will put up with you when you're older and grayer.
Thank you. And gayer, hopefully. All right.
Gayer and grayer.
That's the Orange Lounge Radio 2017. Gayer and grayer.
But not to be confused with...
I can just see Loki in the background. Hey!
But not to be confused with grayer, which is a cheese.
That's it. We're definitely done. Have a great holiday, everybody. Good night. Thanks for listening. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.